It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech. A great panel ahead to talk about why they're not at South by Southwest. But it's okay because Jolie O'Dell brought muffins for Lent. It's all coming up next on TWiT.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by the new Winamp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Video bandwidth for TWiT is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech, episode 396, recorded March 10th, 2013. A segue for your face. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan and get 2 free books. Visit Audible.com/TWiT2. And don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter. User ID Audible_com. And by GoToMeeting with HD Faces from Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with colleagues and clients from anywhere. You can share the same screen and see each other face-to-face with HD video conferencing, even from an iPad. Sign up for your 30-day free trial today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, use the promo code TWIT. And by Carbonite Online Backup. Automatic, continuous, unlimited backup for your computer files, just $59 a year. Try it free at Carbonite.com and use the offer code TWIT to get 2 bonus months with purchase. And by Stamps.com. Start using your time more effectively with Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it, right from your desk. For our special offer, go to Stamps.com, click the microphone, and enter TWIT. It's time for TWIT This Week in Tech. And we are going to talk about all the tech news. We got lots of it, but let me introduce our panel first, starting all the way to my right with Dwight Silverman, because he's the guy on Skype from the Houston Chronicle. Hey, Dwight.
How are you, Leo?
Blog.cron.com/techblog. You last time you were on, and I want to clarify this, you said I'm not writing for the paper anymore.
I'm not writing for the print edition. I'm all digital all the time. Wow. I have my blog, but my main job, I'm the social media manager for the Chronicle's editorial group. I run the Twitter account and the Facebook account and teach people how to do Twitter and Facebook. It's becoming more and more important in our business to do it. We've been doing it for a long time, but it's picking up steam this
year.
That's
cool. Usually, I don't know why. I usually imagine that the intern's job. Hey, kid, you know how to use Twitter. Come here. Show me how to use that Twitter thing.
The 24-year-old intern may not have a lot of success going to the grizzled newspaper right. or veteran covering City Hall and saying, you need to do this. It's it kind of helps to have somebody who's had some experience doing it. And plus, I think when you have somebody who's my age, who's like excited and enjoys social media and understands it, it helps other people realize that, hey, you know, they can get into it too.
It's not just for kids anymore.
Chronicles been doing it for a long time, yeah. but it's, you know, we always can get better.
Also with us from All Things D, Liz Gaines is here. It's good to see you.
Thank you. Good to see you too.
Yeah. Haven't seen you in ages.
Ages.
How's everything going?
Good.
Good.
I'm not at South by Southwest for the first time.
I was
going to
mention
time.
That. There's something this panel has in common. FOMO, F-O-M-O,
yes,
fear of
so
missing
bad.
Out, because none of us are at South by Southwest.
Oh, not afraid.
Not afraid, no fear.
Relieved.
Jolie O'Dell has no fear either.
I am in great health. I am getting plenty of sleep, and I am not interacting with D-bags. Happy.
I got a call at 7 a.m. on Friday morning from Kara, my head honcho in chief.
Kara Swisher.
Kara Swisher says, did you get my email? I say, what? She says, I emailed you. I look back. She emailed me at 1 that morning saying, can you go to South by Southwest today?
Kara went, though. She's there.
She was already there, but there's a snowstorm on the East Coast, blocked Peter from coming. So she said, Liz, will you go at 7 o'clock, not having seen her email? I said, no.
Good.
And N-O.
Good. So have you all, I take it you've all been to South by Southwest.
I have never been.
You live in Houston.
Whoa,
you're in the same
what?
State. It's in Austin.
I've never been.
So for those who don't know, this was originally it was a music festival, then branched out into a film festival. And I don't know how long, maybe 10 years ago, they did this thing called South by Southwest Interactive to kind of honor this new thing on the World Wide Web. And it's become massive.
Yeah, 28,000 people.
Holy
cow.
Counting or not counting the gate crashers, because they suck.
Counting.
And there are way too many of them.
Yes. People in town. Yeah, no, it's insane.
And the lobby conning.
I think you could argue that Interactive now is a parody with music and film, maybe even bigger. It's certainly a big event. Probably the landmark moment for South by Southwest was in 2007 when Twitter was discovered at South by Southwest. It had launched in 2006, but everybody was using it there, and that really put them on the map. A year later, same thing happened to Foursquare. Everybody was using Foursquare. And then what happened was every app in the world realized if you want to launch at South By, that's, you know, go to South By. And now nobody can launch because there's 1,000 new apps there every
year.
Yeah,
and so everyone's phones are dead because they're, all these GPS apps are killing the batteries.
They're killing the batteries. How come you never went, Dwight?
Actually, I should amend that. I went once. I was the Austin Statesman does social media awards, and several years ago I got one, and I went for that, but I've never been. It's just I've never had the need to. You know, it started out, like you said, as a music and movie conference, and other people from the Chronicle went. And then by the time the Interactive kind of picked up steam, I wasn't covering that as a beat anymore. I was working on the website, so I just didn't go. I would like to go, I think, but it's just become such a zoo. It's like it's like CES, and that the logistics and trying to get around and planning and so forth is so intense that I think you could almost cover it better by not being there.
Austin's a great city. I think part of the success of this is that it's just really fun. The music in Austin is great. And because, you know, the music festival follows the Interactive Festival, a lot of people are there, bands are there. And so there's just wonderful music. And but I think that we went there the last few years. We stopped last year because it just didn't seem like there was a story there, except that it's a party. And it didn't seem like there was any big... Now, Aaron launched his company.
Yes.
Your husband has a company. Mm-hmm. It's an app.
Yes.
Called Seesaw.
Seesaw.co. Go download it now. It's amazing.
It's a decision-making app. Did he launch at South By?
Honey, he has not been at South By. And he said he has had his most productive engineering week...
when everybody else is there.
...in his life. Just by, like, having all his guys in San Francisco in the office, just with their heads down, just getting things done.
So maybe that's the value of it. Get all the D-bags out of town.
Isolate them. Eliminate them.
Do they normally stop him from doing his job?
D-bags? Apparently. I guess. I don't know.
They just talk, and they want to socialize.
They're not talking.
It is a great party. It's mostly Scoble.
Well, I mean, define a great party. My idea of a great party is dropping a laptop in a bathtub.
Yeah,
so.
That was a party, I imagine.
No, but I mean, I don't think it's a great party at all. I think it's a bunch of drunk people who don't know each other trying to, like, socially climb their way up this invisible technology.
There's a bit of that going on.
There's a lot of that going on.
But Kara goes. That must be important for all things D, right?
Kara actually wrote it up for Vanity Fair today.
Oh, there you go. That says it all, right? It's not an all things D story. It's a Vanity Fair story. That kind of says it all.
I will not say what all it says, but I agree.
And why didn't you want to go, Liz? Why did you say, no way? I mean, you had a free trip down there.
It's a free trip to hell.
It's not that bad.
I was at TED last week. I had my travel this month.
You did your TED.
It was great.
Yeah. How was TED?
It was pretty awesome, actually. They're starting to put out some of the good talks. And it's good just for me as a reporter because there's all these people there. And
it's a great place to network.
They talk to each other. They drink a lot. It's great.
Somebody said that the TED represents what's something they're called the idea industry now. That there's an industry that has risen around ideas. And I wonder if that kind of spoils it a little bit.
Oh, it's totally spoiled, and it's very smug and elitist and terrible in all those ways, but it's also wonderful.
Right. If you have $8,000 to waste, why not?
Sure. Or get a press pass. Some of the talks that have already come out are really good. There's one by Amanda Palmer on
Art
of Giving or Asking.
She's a musician.
Asking.
Raised money on Kickstarter to create an album.
Yeah.
And it's really an inspirational figure, I think. So that would be
cool. I mean, this is like a really great distillation. I think it's like 12 minutes long, and it's her just saying she started out as a busker, as a person in a wedding dress asking for money, and that kind of lack of shame that she developed over 5 years of asking people to give her a buck on the street has kind of put her in a place in her career where she feels comfortable valuing her art and asking people to pay for it. She tells it in a beautiful way. I'm not spoiling it by saying that, but that is the lesson.
And the other advantage of these is they're short.
They are, yeah.
Right?
They're,
well, they're 18 minutes.
They're not 2-minute YouTube videos. Yeah, they're 12 to 18. I think they varied a little more. But there's some good ones and thought-provoking ones. There was a bunch on philanthropy this year, interspecies internet communication. There's a huge
What other species?
Dolphins, among others.
Hmm. Dolphins use the internet?
There was actually a woman who showed this really cool wearable computer where you can mimic dolphin sounds when you're swimming with them.
You need that for the bathtub.
So you can speak back and forth to them, and your wearable computer translate what they just said. So
wow.
They said, like, throw me the red ball or whatever.
Yeah. Wow.
Is there, so it exposes you to a whole application for that like helps people or just helps them not do stuff other than swim with dolphins?
Well, I mean, these are marine biologists studying dolphins, so understanding what they're thinking and wanting and asking is probably helpful for
but
them.
But are they really thinking something?
They just want to play with a ball.
They just I think sometimes we might project. I don't know. This is not for TWIT, but I just sometimes feel like they might.
Anyways, it's an idea bath.
It's a bath of ideas. A warm,
don't drop your laptop,
salty, enveloping bath of ideas. Much better than
salty?
South by Southwest.
No. I picked that one this year.
Let's take a break, and then we're going to talk about daylight savings time, because we really have no, we have tech stories. I want to talk about the new Facebook timeline, what you guys think, and if you've got it.
I've got it.
I'm jealous.
I do not have it. I don't even have the search one.
What?
Yeah.
That's last year.
I feel like I'm in like the last century.
What?
They're
not done rolling that out?
Time. No,
what?
Not at all.
Holy moly.
If anyone from Facebook is watching, they should go ahead and push it out to us now so we can talk about it.
That would be good. Push that button. I applied. You know, if you go to facebook.com/newsfeed, at the bottom, there's a green button that says, hello, I'd like to try that, please, Mr. Kata. And
I got the search graph pretty quick after I did
me too.
A day or so. And so
maybe Liz hasn't done that.
I did it. Oh. I'm on the list. Well, I put myself on the list. I don't know if I'm on the real list.
That's what you say at South By.
Yes, right.
I'm on the list.
I have the VIP pass. That was like 3 years ago when South By Southwest turned into, are you on the VIP
list? Are you on the
list?
Like, yeah, which list?
Oh, my God. Then there was the VVIP list. My boss was going for the first time this year, and he's like, do you have any advice? And I was like, just no, VIP is completely meaningless. It means nothing. It's a free-for-all.
To be the VVIP?
VVIP is even meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. Just wear a Purell suit and come home as quickly as possible.
you might think that we sound jaded and bitter, maybe a little little jealous, and we are. All of us except Jolie, who really doesn't want to be there at all. Not one bit. Our show today brought to you by Audible.com, great site for audiobooks. 100,000 total. More, actually, audiobooks, titles of all kinds from kids, which is great, by the way. The Neverwinter Saga is available. Hunger Games. There are a lot of young adult novels on there. Great way to get your kid reading. And the reason I say that is my 18-year-old, who's a little either ADD or dyslexic. I'm not sure what. Or maybe he's just high. But he doesn't like to read. On the other hand, once I turn him on to Audible, he can't stop listening. And I think that's just as good. Just as good. He's been listening to science. He got into psychology, anthropology. There's fiction and nonfiction. There's history. I love listening to biographies. There's tons of that. Audible, audible.com. And I'm going to tell you how you can get 2 free books right now. Oh, I see the Audi nominees are out. These are the best audiobooks of the year. Here's one if you're into technology. Just debuted at South by Southwest. It's called All the Rave, The Rise and Fall of Sean Fanning's Napster. Wouldn't that be a fun book to read? Yeah, I mean, it's got to be an interesting story. Joseph Men.
You also just scroll by Sheryl Sandberg's book that's coming out this
week. Oh, Lean In is on Audible, huh?
I wonder if she reads
Someone
else does.
Where is that?
It was just a little lower.
It's a touch screen. You could actually touch my screen if you want. Yeah.
Touch your screen.
Yeah, go ahead. Ooh. Lean In, Women Work, and the Will to Lead. Have you read this? Oh, it's pre-order, so it's not out quite yet.
Yeah,
have you read this?
It comes out this week.
You mean the book's not even out?
No.
Everybody's talking about it as if they'd read it.
No, I think she's going to be on like 60 Minutes tonight and Good Morning America tomorrow.
Narrated by Eliza Donovan.
She's the COO
at
Facebook.
Actress, yeah. Eliza Donovan.
Maybe. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But that's one of the things that's great about Audible. They're not dry. And then I told Mark that he had to put, it's somebody who is going to bring it to life. That's one of the best
Sandberg
things.
Sandberg ain't got time for that bull mess.
Yeah, I don't think she'd be
not
reading
it. Not that it's bull mess. She's a busy woman.
So there's two books right there. If you're interested in the tech industry, you might want to get. Here's how you get them free. Go to audible.com/twit2. You'll be signing up for the Platinum account. That's two books a month subscription, which is what I do because I go through these things like candy. But your first month's free. Your first two books are free. If you cancel in the first 30 days, you'll pay nothing, but the books are yours to keep. I don't think you're going to want to cancel. Cheryl's book comes out tomorrow. So you sign up today, you'll get that book tomorrow. Lean In, Women. I got to read that. It's not that long. It's only 6.5 hours. It's a short book.
Oh, yeah? What's
it's
a long
quick
book?
Read. Long would be, most books are around 10 hours. Game of Thrones, like 43 hours. So I'm not kidding. It varies. By the way, that would be another good one. If you haven't read the Game of Thrones, you should really read it before you watch it on TV, I think. Wonderful books. They're all there on Audible, too.
You're in San Francisco, by the way, All Things D is doing a Game of Thrones event next week.
How fun. What? Like for the
with
debut?
HBO. Yeah, for the debut. We're doing like a conversation. Oh. It's on the 20th.
Hold
Let
that
me know.
Thought.
Yeah.
Hold that thought. I want to do that. So anyway, audible.com/twit2. Try it today. You're going to love it. I promise. I've been a member since 2000. It kept me from driving off the road more than once with my long commute. audible.com/twit2. So that the Game of Thrones is big at South by Southwest. Did you see that? They have the Game of Thrones pedicabs.
Really?
With the Iron Throne, the swords thrown in the pedicab. You're sitting in this, riding along. I've seen pictures. I know, it's true. So you're doing a deal with HBO. When it launches this Sunday, a week from today, right?
The event is on the 20th.
Oh, okay. So maybe it launches in 2 weeks. Storm of Swords, Series 3. Are you a fan? No. She has never even seen it.
I didn't say anything.
She has no idea. So you don't share our excitement. Have you seen it, Jolie Adele, in the bathtub?
The
did you
one
watch
Gar- where the does, series premiere was just like boobs, boobs, boobs.
Yeah, that was
violence,
it.
Violence, yelling, boobs.
Boobs.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, you know, HBO, I don't know why, but
boobs.
I think they feel the
Top
need.
Boobs.
Yeah, there was no need to do that. There was a lot of nudity in the first few episodes.
I
agree
no
with you.
There's no need for television. But if there's television, there should be boobs.
I don't know.
Some
it wasn't.
People.
There weren't boobs in the book, at least not that I remember.
How do you put boobs in a book? That's not a book. That's a magazine, sir.
Maybe that was the pilot, and it was actually to sell all the mail.
I swear to God, it was because they really toned it down. As the first three episodes, much less nudity, and I swear to God, it was to draw people in.
And then it goes away.
And then it kind of goes away.
That's terrible. See, if you're going to have boobs in the pilot, you need boobs throughout, like a boob arc. For the whole series. There's a reason he has me on these
not
things.
I'm going to say a thing because it's just going to get in trouble. Ever since she brought Hot Cross Buns to the studio and their first appearance here, it's been downhill. So Facebook's redesign, since only you have it, Jolie Odell, can you perhaps fill us in? I mean, we can look at it at the demo site, facebook.com/newsfeed.
I don't. Is there a way for the camera to look over my shoulder?
I'll show here. Why don't I show? This is what they're showing. So it says goodbye clutter. Hello, bright, beautiful stories.
It is.
Pictures are bigger.
I mean, as you can see here, it's kind of the.
Yeah, describe it because most of our audience is on audio anyway, so it doesn't.
Well, what you would expect, you know how you go to a modern web application, and what you get is very magazine-like, full bleed photos with text overlaid on the photos. And it's all very visually oriented.
Like, say, Google Plus.
I wouldn't know. No one uses
that. Doesn't this look like Google Plus?
It does look like Google Plus.
It feels to me like Google Plus heavily influenced us.
Well, I mean,
and like Flipboard.
I would say it's not so much influenced by any application as following an existing trend with web and mobile, especially iPad and tablet applications. Right. It's just bringing a very old, ugly interface up to speed with the rest of the entire internet. And they do it pretty well. Now, they don't break any new ground. They are not giving you something revolutionary, but they're also not giving you something that's so difficult to navigate that users are going to, quote, revolt.
It's very visual.
It's gorgeous. It's pretty.
I do feel like Facebook is in this kind of endless cycle, though, of taking out features and then putting the same features back in. Right. I mean, it's a move forward. It's more modernized. But, you know, they used to show us everything, and then people didn't want everything when they were jealous of Twitter for a while.
Right.
And then they took that away. And now there's like a feed where you can see everything. And they used to give you the ability to sort by the type of update. And then they took that away because they said people didn't use those controls.
And now
they're back
again.
So
I think that what I got from talking to some of the product people when I was there and some of the engineers is that they just get these overwhelming complaints. I'm not seeing my friends' updates in my newsfeed. That is the number one complaint about newsfeed, and that's what they were trying to fix. So now they
know. But did they fix it?
They did, because now there's a feed.
There's categories. Can you say, well, here, I'll give you an example, and this was very controversial. Nick Bilton, writing in the Bits blog of New York Times, pointed out that subscribers basically see very little of your content. Your friends see your content, but Facebook, while they, you know, remember they added this ability to subscribe to somebody. So, for instance, I have my friends, and there's just a few hundred of them, but anybody can subscribe to my Facebook feed. But what Nick seems to have found is that nobody sees these posts.
Well, that's what Facebook is trying to change now. They're trying to let you look at different kinds of content, the people you subscribe to, the people you're very close friends with. And then different kinds of content by, you know, the type of content itself, whether it's photos or music or whatever. They're trying to fix this. Like, every user has their own, I didn't see enough of blank today on Facebook. And they're trying to appeal to everybody at the same time. Now, are they going forward? Are they going back? Are they flip-flopping? I think they're trying to make something that works for a billion people. And we're watching them do it in the public eye.
They're not
doing it all behind doors. Like Adobe, for example, when they make Photoshop, they roll out their Photoshop update and that's it.
Right.
And they don't update it again for however long,
they
a year.
They fix bugs, but they don't make any big changes.
Right. Yes. And
so
we're seeing
Facebook's iterating.
In real time,
which is
in front
what you
of
do
everybody.
On the web, which is
yes,
what you
it
do.
Is. It
yeah.
is.
So, Jolie, since you have it, can I ask a question as a,
sure.
as a publisher and somebody, you know, we put out our content on Facebook and hope people in Houston share it. And so there's some concern here about how much publishers' content will be seen if people are able to select specific feeds and thus not see, you know, the stories that we're putting out.
Right.
So when you have the all items feed,
mm-hmm.
do you see the brands that you have followed, or do you just see all of your friends?
I mean, I don't follow any brands, so I'm probably not the best person to answer that, but
I do, and I see nothing but ads for those
brands.
I mean, that's just so much. Now, I don't have the new feed, but that's one of the things that really bugs me. In fact, that was Nick's contention, is that really he wouldn't get engagement on stuff he shared unless he paid.
You know what, though? That's Nick's friggin' problem. If you're bad at social media,
I don't think he's
that you are sharing Nick are not relevant to other people, if they don't want to
reshare
it,
I think that that's not true.
That's on you.
Now, Peter Kafka did have a Facebook's response, if I can find this. He says Facebook said there's no pay-to-play scheme here, because Nick really implied that he did an experiment. He has 25,000 subscribers. Nobody saw anything. None of them saw anything he posted unless he paid for it. Facebook said, no, that's not true.
But then, you know, later Facebook came back last week and said, yes, there was a bug in our code.
Right.
We fixed it. And, in fact, we noticed more people seeing our stuff before than the numbers had shown us previously, which, you know, made us feel better. But still, it doesn't seem like you get in front of as many people. And, you know, what we're sharing is news stories. We're not necessarily – these aren't ads. They're stuff that people may want to share with each other. And so it's frustrating to us to kind of have our stories out there and not be promoted unless we pay for it.
Well, exactly. And that's kind of what Nick was saying. He's a New York Times writer. He wants to – it's not gossip he's putting out here.
No, I think Julie has a point, which is, you know – he's being a little bit whiny.
He's crying because people didn't like his Facebook posts. He's an emo 14-year-old in this instance. Sorry,
I have 800,000 Facebook subscribers or something.
Yeah.
And I don't think they see my stuff either. I've noticed the same trend that he's seen.
Well, so what's whiny?
I think that what actually does come back to is what Jolie is talking about, which is Facebook puts out all these features and then they don't necessarily have the follow through on them later. And so they launched the subscription thing. It must have been like a side project or something.
And
a year later, they left it out of the algorithm and no one noticed, you know?
That's what they said. That's what they told Peter. They said, Facebook says we tweak our newsfeed algorithms all the time. We tweak everything all the time. It's a moving target. And they said people like Bilton, who started accumulating followers, these subscribers, via this site subscribe option early, may have seen engagement drop, but they don't say why. So maybe it's a bug.
Well, I don't know that it's a bug. I think that Facebook has a few things that are really core to its user experience. One is your friendships, people you know who know you, that mutual thing that is really strong and really valuable and genuine, real. And then the other thing is
but they added the subscribers
and things you like it.
But they added subscribers, so they should support it or not put it in at all.
I don't think it's core to their product and their values as a company. And I think that they put it in to as an experiment more than anything else. And I just don't think that it's, when you think about Facebook, I think it's kind of tangential to the whole point of Facebook.
And it's
Facebook
easy for them.
Facebook isn't an RSS feed.
Is that our fire alarm going off?
I'm on fire.
Could you check that, John?
No, that's me.
That's you.
That's me.
Is that, Dwight, you want to get out of the house?
No.
Dwight, it's coming from inside the house. Your wife is cooking.
My wife is cooking. We have a fire sensor.
I have the same thing. It's so annoying.
It goes off.
Every time you cook.
Yes. We were going to evacuate the studio by the time we figured out.
John's, run, John. Find out what's...
I'm on fire.
Oh, my God. No, and actually...
Yeah, I'll try to mute that if it happens.
I won't say whiny, because I think that's unfair to Nick. But it is true that the only people who care about subscribers are public figures. That the subscribers was created because public figures were adding... And there was a limit of 5,000 people adding friends as fans as friends.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And public figures were saying, well, this is no good. And they were topping out of 5,000. So Facebook said, all right. We're going to create a new thing. If you're really popular, you can have people subscribe. That's a different category. You can still share to family and friends. And but the only people who care about that are public figures. And so Facebook said, we don't care about.
Yeah, that content is just less valuable. If you and I are friends, what you have to say is very valuable to me. It's going to rise higher. Now, if I'm just a fan of yours, your content may not be as important as updates from my mom, my best friend, my best friend's cat,
Who's to decide that? Is Facebook? If I follow George Takei because I care a lot about his posts?
His stuff comes through. I follow him, too, and it's there every day. I think he gets a lot of engagement.
Facebook knows that.
I think
so. It's how many people click, like, and all that.
Social media site called Twitter where people share links all the time, and it's very effective because that's what people use.
Well, and it's completely unfiltered, but it's not technically called EdgeRank, but the algorithm that is popularly called EdgeRank that Facebook has considers is Nick Bilton posting stuff that people interact with consistently, voluminously. If that is the case, as with George Takei, then we're going to push it to the top of the feed. We're going to determine how much people actually want to see this, because as soon as Facebook starts to mess up on how much people want to see something, they get people upset, and then they have to change everything.
I'll grant you that. I guess the last thing I would say about it is, of course, if you give Facebook money, suddenly everything you say is engaging. You can pay to be on that feed.
It's called advertising.
Well, my feed, and I follow a lot of people on Facebook, is almost all brands. I can't show it because I can't. I have to get my. John, could you get my phone? It's on the. I have to log in on this machine. I haven't done it before, and I have second factor on here.
I think your life on Facebook, though, is pretty different because you've been famous since before Facebook started. So I don't think that you've ever had a legitimate.
That's
personal
too big
Facebook
a deal.
That's
going to
be my new tagline. famous before there was Facebook.
Yeah. I mean, it would be totally different if you were like a teeny bopper celebrity who'd emerged through that medium, right?
Like Justin Bieber?
Yeah.
So should he put his shirt on or not?
I don't
know. He took his heart off.
He's been walking around town with his shirt off, apparently.
Yeah, put it on, Justin.
That's what somebody said. Yeah. All right, let me just enter my one-time code, and then I can... Hey, I'm talking here. Sorry. Do you turn on second-factor authentication on your Facebook page?
Yes.
No, you should.
My security reporter tells us that we should be doing all that kind of stuff.
And you don't do it. It's just a pain in the butt. You see here, I had to get my phone and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, I still don't have that fancy feed. But see, I don't think I liked yearbook.org, but it's the number two post right on here, right? I know I didn't like that.
The number two is always an ad.
That's an ad. Okay.
Honestly,
there's Justin Bieber with his shirt off. That's nice.
The new one, there's no suggested anything on the new news feed that I can see.
Now, these are all friends now.
Stuff.
Okay. That would be nice, but so I have a feeling that's not going to last.
I think that you can go to different kinds of feeds, and one of them has got to be sponsored or brands or something like that.
So the so Liz has told me something I didn't know.
Here, look.
That's always
me.
An ad.
What?
Oh. The second item.
Yeah, I think. Well, that's
you're
my
right, though. I think you're right. It's always an ad, so I should ignore that. All right.
Yeah.
That's easy.
Well, and if you look over here, it's got a separate feed for following, and you can see the icon for your following feed. Is
so
an
that's
RSS
what they've
icon.
Added. So that's what they've added is now you can say, I just want to see stuff I'm
so
following.
So Nick Bilton goes there under the
there.
RSS button.
That's fine.
And
that's a good way to fix
that's
that.
That's for people who are interested in brands and online celebrities. Like, that's their special button.
That's a good way to fix
it. But you know what? In 6 months, they're going to be like, no one ever used those. So we're taking them away.
Yeah, so we're taking them away.
Exactly. Right. So, who else cried on the internet this week?
Whiners. You're a bunch of whiners. Facebook acquired Story Lane. Is that Memo Land? Is that the same?
No.
What's Memo Lane died and somebody acquired them that we don't know.
Story Lane was just a really duplicative blogging platform. Okay. I think it was hard to know what they were. Yeah. I mean, I think they copied the features of name a CMS or a
Storify.
Storify or Medium or anything like that. I think it was just really a fun little idea that wasn't very innovative, but they probably had a really great team because, like, a couple months out of the gate, Facebook just snapped them up.
What's funny is that they snapped them up 2 days after launching an iPhone app.
I know, right?
So, kids.
And they're shutting it down probably, right?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. Right. Just a little point. Launch an iPhone app. Best way to get known. Yeah. Best way to get known. 9 new Open Graph actions for developers. Do we care? I don't care. All right, that's enough of Facebook. I've had it with Facebook. I think you guys have been a good job of making me feel better about Facebook, and I'm going to use it more.
Oh, okay.
Promise. So some interesting stories out of Google. YouTube is going to apparently start a music share a service, kind of like Spotify. They're going to go after Spotify. Was that All Things D I read that on? It might have been.
No, you read a good takedown of that on All Things D.
Oh, which is not that, so, huh?
Well, I think Google is trying a whole bunch of different music services. Probably the most prominent one is through the Android division, is trying to make it part of Google Play.
Right.
So YouTube
and that's,
having
that's
a
been out for a while.
Yeah, and they have deals. And
right.
YouTube has that relationship with Vivo. So there's a lot of different. I mean, Google's a huge company with a lot of overlapping efforts to do music.
And it
things.
Would be easy if you were a reporter covering this space, as CNN Fortune is, to assume that meant they were going to launch a YouTube music service. But they're talking to these people all the time about a lot of different things.
I think Peter's point was they don't have the deals to do that yet.
They only have Warner Music. Like, they have two labels.
Yeah.
For this particular kind of thing.
Well, that's two more than a lot of the streaming music services had when they started out.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, but, I mean, Spotify didn't launch in the U.S. until they had all of
it. Took a while. Yeah. It'd be hard to launch a Spotify-style service if you had one quarter of the albums. Why would anybody join you?
Well, when you come to the music label with a platform like YouTube and like Android, which is hundreds of millions of people, billions of people even, I think you have a little bit more negotiating power than Spotify, which nobody had heard of.
Right.
I mean, I think that YouTube is now used as the jukebox for the world, right?
Most kids, when they listen to music, they're watching the videos on YouTube.
So there's an opportunity to do something more there, to maybe have a little bit higher quality, but to also be really convenient.
Well, and that's the pitch you could do for the music industry. Look, your kids are watching the videos on YouTube now. You can keep asking them to take them down, or maybe we could do a deal, and this could be a business for you. That's a good pitch.
But I think the pitch worked when they started Vivo.
That's Vivo, right. There were, for a while, Vivo, the last I heard, Vivo was going to go independent, and then they changed their mind.
Yeah, there was some interesting negotiations around that.
YouTube. Do you think it was YouTube saying, no, you stick around. We got much more to come.
Well, everybody loves YouTube because it has distribution, but it doesn't pay as much as everyone thinks they deserve. It
doesn't pay me anything, hardly anything. It's terrible.
Yeah,
didn't Psy make $1,000,000 off that one?
Psy made $8 million on Oppo Gangnam Style, but he had how many views?
But that's the most popular video of all time.
Yeah, a billion views. You should make some money. I think the last I heard is, on at least for advertising, it's about $1,000 per million views. So you got to work pretty hard if you're going to make money on YouTube.
Not that
or get really lucky.
A million views.
Yeah. Nothing. I've never got. I've one video got a million views. And I had to take it down. My parole officer said it was. I shouldn't. Google is building a same-day Amazon Prime competitor, Google Shopping Express, according to Alexia Tsotsis in TechCrunch.
Google's doing a lot of interesting stuff.
They really are.
They really are. I mean, Amazon has become enormous. There's no way to compete in e-commerce because Amazon is so big. So Google's taking them on.
So Amazon Prime, brilliant marketing. Prime member?
Yes, absolutely.
Who isn't? Prime member? Of course you are, Dwight. You're Prime. You're Prime member. And Jolie? You don't even order things. She goes down to buy stuff from knitting shops.
So, you know, Google
eBay?
Has
eBay. I buy everything from China.
Everything from eBay.
Everything. Outfit.
So Google has spent the last year, like, stripping down all this stuff, you know, getting rid of things that weren't part of its core. And now it's adding on other things that aren't part of its core.
But that makes sense. What you want to do is kill stuff that's not working, iterate.
And try other stuff.
Well, but the other stuff that they're trying is, like, let's do what this other big guy is doing.
Well, it's hard to innovate.
And this has the whiff of, like, 1997. You know, this sounds like the same thing with Amazon doing it, with trying to do, you know, local delivery and same-day delivery. Right. There was a huge infrastructure issue and a lot of costs involved with that. The price of fuel alone is a big deal. Right. And so I don't think this is going to go that far unless they have some kind of maybe affiliate system where they're partnering with people who are already doing it in local markets.
One advantage Google has, though, they do have many people's credit card numbers because of Google Wallet, right? So I notice it's very friction-free for me to buy stuff at Play and so forth because they already have my credit card. It's kind of – so they are at least a player to that point, much like Apple and Amazon.
Right, but it's still they have to get the goods to you. That's the trick.
Well, and supposedly, according to this article, they're talking to people like Walmart – and Target and Walgreens and Safeway.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the biggest things that's going to happen in tech in like the next 5 years is that we'll have almost instantaneous delivery. Right now,
you know,
Prime
if it's not to my
days,
door, I don't care. The whole point was I didn't want to get in the car and drive to Target, or I would have bought it there.
Right. So one version of the world that I was talking to a venture capitalist last week, and he was like, "Well, you know, Walmart and Target and Kmart, you know, when they all go out of business, what they'll turn into is just distribution centers because they already have the whole shipping network.
Big lock boxes.
And then they'll deliver stuff to your house so you never have to leave.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well,
so you still get delivery to your
expanding
door.
All
or
over
a
the
different
place.
Alternate reality is like Uber has turned into this massive logistics network. So what if instead of delivering you from one place to another in a black car, they bring you phone you just ordered?
Isn't there – I just got it. There's already a company that comes to my door every day. they could be.
Is it a company that lost $15.9 billion?
Yeah, the Post.
Well,
they have to. That's by contract with the government. They have to lose money.
Yeah.
No, seriously, it's kind of like this scam.
It's not a.
But
real
they're already
loss.
Coming to my door every day. They could just bring me stuff. When the mail guy comes, he could just bring me stuff and then would deliver it. Wouldn't that?
But did you order it 10 minutes ago?
Nah, that's the key.
I thought you were talking about the pizza delivery guy.
The pizza guy.
So here's how we fix everybody's problems. You get the post office to
deliver
the same
pizza.
Day. No,
oh.
No, Leo. Leo.
I'm sorry, I'm not following
reel it in,
you.
Reel it in.
Okay.
Then they make $1 billion. We get our stuff same day.
Yeah.
Unicorns come into being spontaneously.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
Can the postman ride a unicorn?
Why the hell not?
Why the hell not?
Isn't that Snow Crash? Isn't in Snow Crash the government? The only thing the government does is the post office and pizza delivery. I think that's in Snow Crash.
Am I wrong? But isn't the post office in the Constitution? Isn't that a constitutional thing?
They'd have to have
a constitutional amendment to get rid of the. No,
they're already. They just announced they're stopping Saturday service.
But that's not in the Constitution. But you have to have a post office. Well, now, see, I'm seeing people nod, but they could be from Sweden. So let me. I'm sure in Sweden it's in the Constitution.
What's the system in Buenos Aires?
The Postal Clause, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 7 of the United States Constitution empowers Congress to, quote, establish post offices and post roads.
Slow clap.
What happened to the post roads?
Nice Wikipedia.
They're the roads we use today.
Oh, that's the highway.
Yes.
But maybe, you know, I'm thinking, and this is the problem with the Constitution. Maybe to them, a post office might mean something different to what we think of. It could be an office on the post road. But maybe it's like a shared office space where you could have a computer and a So you, look at that. See, isn't that good? Don't you like touch?
I like it a lot.
She's reaching over and touching my laptop.
There's a whole section on
interrogation.
Where
I'm
right
from.
To do it.
Here, you read that, and then we'll just, that'll be the show.
good Lord. The postal clause was added to the Constitution to primarily to facilitate interstate communication, as well as to create a revenue source for the early U.S. John Jay, in a letter to George Washington, opined that the postal service should not be burdened with a response. Oh, you know why it was? I remember this now. Ben Franklin established a private postal service because he was a newspaper publisher, and he established it so he can get the scoops before anybody else in Philadelphia. It was one of them profit things. Anyway, I'm going to move on now. It's not going anywhere. I just think the post office could start delivering pizza, and that would be really great.
Maybe the pizza delivery guys could start delivering mail.
Or vice versa. It doesn't really matter to me. If somebody comes to my door and brings my stuff, I'm happy. We're going to take a break and talk about SimCity when we get back. Play SimCity? You must play SimCity.
No, I have a job, see?
I don't have a job. There's my problem. If only I had to do something. Dwight, you play SimCity?
I started playing it today.
Yes, good. We'll talk about it. First, I want to give you an iPad. How about that? We got a giveaway from our friends at Citrix. GoToMeeting. You know about GoToMeeting, right? With HD faces. Awesome. The powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with colleagues and clients. Everybody's everywhere these days. There, some of them are in Austin at South by Southwest. So with GoToMeeting, even though people are distributed all over, both the people you're pitching to, clients, but also colleagues, it's hard to work together. GoToMeeting makes it possible. Mac, PC, but even on an iPad, an iPhone, an Android tablet, you can attend meetings. Makes it very easy to set up meetings. And the HD faces will use the camera on your computer or your iPad so you can see the people you're meeting with. And it's got screen sharing. You're seeing their screen. You're collaborating on documents online. It really is an awesome product. I do want you to try it free at gotomeeting.com. 30 days free when you click the try it free button and use our promo code TWIT. But they want you to all know that you can now present from an iPad. They're always adding capabilities. One of the nice things about Citrix, constantly upgrading their products for free. So now you can attend a meeting or even hold a meeting from your iPad. In fact, it uses the iPad's camera, it uses the iPad's microphone and speaker, so you don't even need a phone with you. Well, we want to know, if you could host a meeting from anywhere using GoToMeeting, where would it be and why? And I want you to tweet your answer, and we're going to choose randomly among all the tweets we get and give you this nice iPad. Now, here's the deal. You got to hashtag it with GoToMeeting, hashtag GoToMeeting, and TwitPad, hashtag TwitPad, so we know that it's for Twit.
TwitiPad.
TwitiPad, thank you. So we know that it's from Twit because we're doing another one on iPad today. So use the hashtag TwitiPad and a hashtag GoToMeeting, two different hashtags. Then, in your tweet, say who you'd want to meet with and where. And we'll pick from randomly from all the entries on Twitter. Contest ends Thursday, March 21st, 11:59 p.m. Pacific. And we'll announce the winner in 2 weeks on our March 24th episode. Contest open to U.S. residents only. For rules, visit the inside.twit.tv blog. And don't forget to try GoToMeeting. I think you're going to really like it. GoToMeeting.com. Click the try it free button and use the offer code TWIT. What do you think? It was daylight savings time. Did y'all got here on time? Everybody sit there. Because now with computers, it does it automatically, right? Mm-hmm. In fact, I have some clocks that don't, and it feels like it's like a pain in the butt. It's like, why don't you set yourself automatically? What's wrong with you? I had to turn my watch ahead. Do we really need daylight savings time? Another Ben Frank saving. Oh, I see. All right. See, do you see that? He's put a sign up because I say savings.
I was wondering what that meant.
Do you say saving?
Saving. Daylight saving time. That makes more sense.
It makes more sense. But savings.
Yeah, it's savings.
Like, no one says the extra R in February.
He's
going to
get mad at you.
What are you doing? You're saving daylight.
You're saving daylight. John
well, then why isn't there a hyphen? Daylight saving time.
When you put, were we talking about that before when you put the sign up about saying saving? Okay, you were just ready like an hour ago.
No, he knew I would say it. So here's the deal. There's a petition at whitehouse.gov. Eliminate the biannual time change caused by daylight savings.
15,000 goobers can't be wrong.
You need 100,000 votes.
We're adults.
We need 100,000 votes.
Well, they said that. It says it needs 100,000 votes. Then the White House will respond. You're right. It seems like that number's gotten bigger.
Yeah, wasn't it like 25K
last week?
Yeah,
it used to be.
Yes, they increased it after, the Texas.
It's gotten too popular.
It got too easy.
I talked to somebody on the digital team at the White House. He says, we don't care about that. We just want your email address so we can mail you.
They just did the cell phone unlocking thing, though. They just reversed themselves on that because of the petition.
But they had no weight of law.
No, but now there's a bill proposed because
of it. So it could have some weight. You're right. There was a petition that said it should be legal because it's currently illegal to unlock your cell phone. So somebody created a petition. It got sufficient signatures. The White House responded and said, we agree. And now three members of Congress have proposed such a law.
I think there might even be two different proposals. I mean, it's become a thing.
And AT&T says, by the way, regardless, we're going to unlock it if you're a customer in good standing. So don't worry about it. I think the AT&T doesn't want a law passed. They said, we'll take, trust us. We'll unlock it. It's not a problem. Anyway, daylight saving time. Bad idea, good idea. I ask you, panel.
I'm pro daylight.
Kids.
I'm with Liz. I think it's fine. I think it should stay. And I think if that's the thing you're going to petition the government to change.
It does seem like a minor
priorities,
thing.
Y'all. We got gay marriage on the table. We've got phone unlocking, still relatively minor. There are people in our country who are hungry, who are homeless, who are uneducated,
but
who are illiterate.
But they could be doing it in the sunshine.
And daylight saving time is what you're picking on with a petition?
The government could multitask.
It could do more than one thing. That's a good point.
This is just so minor, and I can't imagine that anybody but stoners really cares about this.
No, if you've had kids, and you've
really
had kids, try to get them to go to sleep and late at night, and it's still light out.
Benadryl.
And particularly like if you're in a place like you're in Seattle, you know, where it stays late till 10:30 at night. Mm-hmm. Daylight savings time is kind of anachronistic. It was originally set up, to provide the extra hour of daylight and to prevent the burning of electric lights. But electric lights now are so minimal a part of what burns electricity that it isn't having that much of an effect, and it's confusing. There also apparently are health issues related to it. So I think it's
related
to
the sun.
Yeah, seasonal affect disorder syndrome.
So
it does seem anachronistic. I think it was really for farmers to give them more daylight to perform their chores, but now we have lights.
But farmers. And still a thing.
And there's never been any evidence that it saves energy, which was the more modern excuse, right? Oh, it's good for energy saving.
How about if we've been doing it this long? Why stop now?
This is one of the least fact-based arguments I've ever had.
Have you
heart attacks? Okay, I'll give you some. This is from the Huffington Post.
Okay.
Sarah Klein writing, heart attacks go up in the first few days after the change.
What?
As do workplace injuries. Workers are less productive and, according to this article, more likely to waste time perusing the internet. It's good for the internet, but bad for the economy. This comes from the American Psychological Institute or Association. Lost sleep and cyber loafing. Evidence from the lab and a daylight savings time quasi experiment.
Cyber loafing.
Cyber loafing.
Say that one more time with a straight
cyber
face.
Loafing.
You can order that on Amazon Prime.
The internet. This is cyber the abstract. The internet is a powerful tool that has changed the way people work. However, the ubiquity of the internet has led to a new workplace threat to productivity, cyber loafing.
As opposed to water cooler loafing or all the other kinds of loafing that people used to do.
Ah, but
and
you see, this builds on the ego depletion model of self-regulation.
Tell me more about that.
In this, we examine how lost and low-quality sleep influence employee cyber-loafing behaviors. Isn't that true, though, really? If you didn't sleep
what
well,
kind of
don't
adult
you kind
of can't just remember
listlessly
to go to bed an hour early? Like,
because your body doesn't know that. Your brain does, but your body thinks it's an hour early. Right? That's the problem.
It's just not a real problem.
More people have heart attacks. The number of car crashes increases on the Monday after the time switch. The fatal alcohol-related accidents go up. Is this not a strong argument?
Alcohol-related accidents, you're going to blame that on
Tonga a few
time.
Years ago. And as when I was there, they were changing the side of the road that people drove on.
Oh, that's not a good
idea.
Talk
about something.
That's
an artificial change that the government makes.
Why?
Because they used to be more aligned with the U.S. economy, and now they're more aligned with the New Zealand economy.
Right.
And so the cars that they get
are
coming
Zealand.
In
have the steering
wheel on the other side. But if you talk about, like, So overnight, they repainted the roads with arrows, just the middle of the arrow, just the lengthy part. And then in the middle of the night, they went in and erased the triangle part on one side and put it on the other side.
Horrible. What a recipe for disaster.
Accidents.
So this study comes from the Health and Human Service Department at Mendocino College. The hypothesis was that sleepiness and alcohol interact to increase the risk of alcohol-related traffic fatalities. They assessed total alcohol-related fatal traffic crashes in the state of New Mexico from 1989 through 1992 for each of the 7 days that preceded the changes to and from daylight savings time. Consistent with our hypothesis, the percentage of alcohol-related fatal crashes increased significantly during the first 7 days.
No, I'm calling BS on this.
This is a study.
No, alcohol-related fatalities in car crashes is due to people, poor judgment.
But they went up because they were sleepy.
No, because they were drinking and driving, sir, not because they were sleepy.
But they always drink and drive, but it was worse during the...
Because it was dark.
I feel like I need a hug. This is a terrible...
Thanks for the muffins.
You're welcome.
According to a poll conducted by mattress company Sleepies... ...70% of people support switching the start of daylight saving time to 2 a.m. Saturday morning.
So you're siding with the drunk drivers and the mattress company.
Okay. Thousands of sleepyheads have signed a We the People petition to do away with daylight savings time or make it a year-round standard. I think that's reasonable. It's really hard for the body to adjust. I'm tired right now. Maybe it's a story. I don't know. Moving along. That's not even a tech story. What kind of muffins did you bring us?
Double chocolate orange muffins with a creamy Cointreau glaze.
Would you like one?
An orange vest.
That delicious.
That does not sound like a muffin. That sounds like a cupcake.
No, girl. It's a muffin.
It is a muffin. Here, I'll have a third one just to prove it.
See?
I'm so jealous. I am so jealous.
I think the thing that keeps it from being a cupcake is...
It doesn't have a muffin top, though.
Pronunciation. Well, some of them have muffin tops. You just got to get one that's a little more pillowy.
So cute.
All right.
Yeah, Liz, good going.
Keep your strength up because of that daylight savings time.
All right, what about the iWatch?
Will the Cointreau make me drive drunk on my way home?
Yes.
No, actually, I boiled out all the alcohol, so it's all just like orange flavored.
Should we talk about the iWatch?
Mm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Now, Liz has a mouthful of muffin, so we'll let you.
Leo, can you get Google Shopping Express to bring me a muffin, please?
Same day delivery.
Call the post office right now.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Too bad they don't have Sunday deliveries at the post office anymore.
Or Saturday.
SimCity. Oh, you played SimCity? I like SimCity, and of course, this is the first new version in years, right? How many years since the last SimCity? 4 or 5 years. But a lot of complaints. How many? 10 years? Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Don't confuse SimCity with The Sims. They've been doing Sims, but they're back to the city, although you can zoom on the city and see like Sim-like things inside the buildings.
Folks say that it's as complex as urban planning. It's like a hair's breadth away from urban planning.
Well, somebody at Electronic Arts ought to plan some server planning. Because just a mess. In fact, such a mess that they're giving everybody who bought SimCity in the first couple of weeks of the month a free game. They acknowledged it. And part of the problem is now you guys obviously play SimCity. You're like really into it, right? In our front row.
Yes.
So this is a single player game. It's not a social game. Or is it?
Oh, it is a social game. Yeah. It is a social game.
The new one is sort of this social, version. But you can't even play the single player game without logging in.
Right. So if you want to build up your city while you're on an airplane, you cannot do it.
Oh.
Which SimCity is a great way to kill time on an airplane because it's so intricate, right. It's so detailed. But unless it has Wi-Fi and a decent Wi-Fi connection at that, you're not going to be able to do it.
Well, and because in the first few days of the launch, the servers were killed or slammed, there were a lot of people who had the game who could not play because they couldn't get into a server.
When I installed it today, it gave me a list of servers that were available, and I would say maybe only about a third of the servers that were optional, I could get onto. The rest of them were all full.
And this despite the fact that Electronic Arts has put on a bunch of new servers for this. Let me see if I can get into a server here.
fact, I saw a story just before we went on the air that they are taking the existing servers down to update them one by one and bring them back up. So it's going to be worse.
It's going to be bad. It's going to get worse before it gets better.
I just want to talk to somebody who does like their infrastructure stuff. That would be a really fascinating conversation to see what they're doing.
They must be going crazy for the next couple years, the next 10 years. Yeah.
So that this kind of crap doesn't happen.
Well,
as
but
more
also,
and more and more people get online and have disposable income to do this kind of crap.
I think that you should not have to get online to every the whole time you're playing. Basically, this is copy protection. They make sure that only you are playing your copy of SimCity.
I remember playing SimCity in the mid-90s in our school computer lab with the dial-up connection. And you had to, that was like the reason you played it with school, because you could actually get online.
It was faster.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me see. I've just gotten back online. I had to restart because they had an update. They've been updating almost every day, it seems like, every time I launch it. Okay, North America. Europe West is full. Oceanic. It looks like I can get North America West 2 is available. But there are a lot, as you can see, there are a lot of full servers. But there are a sufficient, I would say, number available. In fact, this is many more North American servers than they've had in the past. And this is the first time I've seen so many available. It's a fun game.
It's a great game. It's a lot, but it is. It's like it's much more work than the previous. I mean, they've all been very detail oriented, and you had to pay attention to a lot of different things. But this, like Jolie said, is like up at a level almost like city planning. When one of the earlier versions came out, and I was working at the San Antonio newspaper, we got the city manager in San Antonio to sit down and play the game and see how he did. He didn't do very well, which I thought was pretty funny.
Maxis Senior Vice President Lucy Bradshaw said, a lot more people logged on than we expected. More people played and played in ways we never saw in the beta. That's kind of interesting, too. You let it out to the public. She says, okay, we agree. That was dumb, but we're committed to fixing it. We've increased server capacity by 128% in the last 48 hours.
Does that mean they just threw more machines at it?
Yeah. The real question is, which she's dodging a little bit, is, should you have to be able to log on to play a game if you're just playing by yourself? It really does seem like it's a copy protection scheme that failed.
There's a chat realmer, Pete Fick, who had a chat log with some of the people, and he asked for his money back, and they said, no, we're not going to give you your money back. And then he said, well, I can just cancel it on the account. And they'll say, well, we'll ban your EA account if you try to do that. EA, now, while that was a horrible response from them, EA did actually respond and say that they won't ban his account.
Wow. All right. Well, that's the price we pay. And it's not the first time this kind of thing has happened. In fact, I think back to some Blizzard games and so forth. This is
Diablo
not that
3.
Unusual.
Diablo 3.
Yeah,
Diablo
same
3.
Thing. Yeah. I mentioned the iWatch. I probably should talk about it. I'm sick to death of it. Have you got any? Do you have one? You got one on you?
No. I have a
Up band. Wow, I haven't seen one of those. That's a dinosaur.
No, this is the new one.
That's the new up.
Yeah, it works.
It doesn't die. It doesn't die. Mine didn't either, but I just decided to stop wearing because everybody else has died.
Now you have people to share with.
So you're wearing one of those. I wore the Nike Life Band, and there's a lot of other stuff.
This one has the nicest software. I've tried all of them, and this one has the best.
I like Jawbone software. I agree.
It does the sleep stuff with a single device instead of having you put on a different wristband for sleep, and that's good. The Fuel Band is a beautiful watch.
It is. It's a nice watch.
You press the button, it tells you the time.
You're a prime candidate then for an Apple Watch, aren't you?
Well, I think the Apple Watch is maybe a little bit more like the Pebble, where it would be like
tied to a phone.
Like an alternate notification screen, which would be nice. Right. But then if it also did GPS, if it did both of those things together, that'd be pretty cool.
Would you prefer Google Glass?
I also pre-ordered a Google Glass.
Yeah, so did I.
Me too.
You too?
Yep.
Don't you think we're going to look like a bunch of dorks in about three months when we're sitting here with our little
frames?
Nope, I'm
giving it to my husband.
Oh, you're going to let Aaron wear it. Let him look like a dork. You wouldn't wear it. So you bought it as a gift.
I bought it as a gift. I'm not...
You wouldn't wear it.
I don't like always on technology. I find it invasive and dehumanizing.
You don't even carry a cell phone. You're the last person.
I do. I had to start. My boss yelled at me so much, I had to start carrying
a cell phone again. Where do you leave your cell phone?
I had no phone for 6 months.
No
best
phone.
6 months of my life. Then I went to a feature phone. And now I'm using a smartphone again, and I'm sure at Google I.O. I'll be testing whatever they roll out there for a while. So
I bet you Google I.O. will be giving out something like a Glass. Last year you could pre-order the Glass.
And it hasn't even, like, shipped. They haven't shipped the pre-orders yet. And this was almost a year ago.
Right.
If they give away glass for free that I had to pre-order
that would
for
be annoying.
The price of a car, that would be beyond
but
annoying.
But they haven't charged us. They haven't charged us yet. So presumably they wouldn't charge you if they gave it to you. Right?
Maybe
they're just assessing interest.
Maybe.
How many people would actually say they'd pay $1,500 for this?
We did.
Yeah. So, quite a few.
Yeah.
Thousands.
I'll pay 500.
How many?
5,500.
Wow. Did you get one too, Dwight?
No, that I'm just not going to pay that much for it, but I'll get it when it's 500.
I don't think I wonder if it'll ever be 500.
Yes. Yeah,
so I have a question about it that I haven't seen answered. If you already wear glasses, mm-hmm. how do you deal with it?
They are apparently, the rumor is they're going to be working with companies like Warby Parker to offer prescription lens versions.
Yeah, I've seen them ask that question a bunch of times. Well, a lot of the people on the team wear glasses. So they have some kind of ride-along modifier ones. They also have ones with sunglasses.
Right. Snap-in lenses. Yeah. I'm not wearing it on top. Ralph in our chat room says, you just put it right over your glasses. No, that's not a good look. I am not doing that.
I mean, nothing about it is a good look.
No.
It's just cool.
Really?
Yeah.
What would you do with Google Glass if you had glass, as they say?
Well, I think that you would stop having good eye contact with other
you
people.
You would. You'd be looking over their shoulder
you'd
most of the time.
Completing your sentences or, like, being able to
you'd
finish
stop
your
suddenly.
Own thoughts.
You wouldn't have to do this, reach down to your screen in Wikipedia something because you'd already be doing it.
How would I do that? I would have to stop the conversation, go, like, rub my temple and say Wikipedia, Postal Service, Constitution.
Well, I mean, it's what you already do when you're having a conversation on your smartphone. I mean, it pisses me off so much to see people in the middle of a conversation just look like they're not paying attention at all when they're looking things up.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's this really weird paradox where you're trying to get away from the smartphone universe where you're walking around with this phone attached to your hand all the time, and you're putting in a different place in your body that's like less intrusive for you, but way more intrusive for everyone else. It's just, it's a trade-off.
We're just walking towards wetware. At some point, the embedded device will be embedded in us, or it'll be like a contact lens, or it'll be an earpiece or something. We're getting there. We're getting there slowly, and it's terrifying.
I actually think that one comparison that people don't make as much as they could is that the Google Glass is actually really like the Pebble. Yes, it takes pictures and videos, and you can swing your kids around and take a video of them, like every single demo they've ever done. But you also, the main thing for it is you get a text message, and it pops up saying, like, here's your text message. It's right over your right eye. You can see what it is. You can decide if you want to deal with it or not in that moment. And that's why I also pre-ordered the Pebble Watch, and I still haven't gotten it because I changed my color.
I got red, and I don't have mine either. Stupid.
Why did I change my color?
Everybody with blacks got them.
Yeah. So, but that's like, you're washing the dishes, and you look down your hand, oh, do I want to deal with that text message? Right. So it gets you a little bit back into your environment and back into doing what you want to do.
Guy wearing Google Glass walks into a Seattle dive bar. Wait a minute, not so fast. Apparently not. The Emerald City 5-Point Bar is banning Google Glasses. This is a good PR stunt.
This would be the kind of joint I would run.
That's a good PR stunt. It doesn't exist. No one has yet walked in wearing it, but we're going to ban it.
And you're talking about it.
Love
and
it.
And it got everywhere. Everybody picked it up. It's a big story. It's on the UPI. We got two women here. What do you think about Sergey Brin saying looking at a phone is emasculating? This was at TED. You were there.
I was. And I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt and think that he had some weird word choice going on there or that he was using some other definition that wasn't totally weird and sexist. But I don't know. I mean, he's up on stage. He knows he's being watched. And he did say that. I think what he was basically saying is that when you're hunched over your phone, sorry, I was finishing my bite of cupcake.
Yeah, you notice I haven't bitten mine because
when you're hunched over your phone, you're away from the world. It's not a power position. You're kind of like being submissive. I don't know. I don't even want to go there.
God, that's
just
worse. A horrible. Yeah.
It's a bad choice.
And you know, when you're an executive of one of the top companies in the world, and you're talking, this was at TED that he said this. Yeah. You're talking to a room full of eggheads. You would think you would choose your words remarkably carefully.
Yeah.
So maybe he chose the word emasculating on purpose to make a controversial sexist
statement.
So we'd
talk about it.
So that we'd talk about it.
No, and I think he's just a huge nerd who doesn't think about what his words mean and doesn't realize
the impact. No, you had to know that someone reviewed what he was going to say and someone, somewhere.
He was just pulled up on stage out of the audience.
You know, he might be a huge nerd, but he's an... I shouldn't say that word on this show.
You're a girly man if you look at your phone.
He is a sexist nerd.
It's an obnoxious thing to say. I'm not trying to defend him here. I'm just saying.
No, I know you're not.
It's pretty obnoxious.
I don't...
in so many ways.
Think it's
even for guys, it's obnoxious for both men and women to say that.
Yeah.
I mean, I look at my phone all the time. I don't feel that it's emasculating. Silly. And if it's a woman looks at her phone, is she emasculated?
I feel so butch when I'm on my computer.
That was totally an infomercial. And
I figured out what's going on. The whole thing that's going on right now is they understand that if you wear these things, you look like a freak. It's the same problem the Segway had, right?
Right.
The Segway was really cool, but anybody who rode one looked like a dork. So there is a campaign, a very active campaign going on, and Sergey's leading it to make it cool to wear these.
To look like a dork.
Right. So you can either look like a dork or be emasculated. Your choice.
I mean, why not just look like a dork
and own it? Be like, I am proud to be a dork.
He and his wife.
And it has nothing to do with gender or emasculating.
Did
or
you see that his wife turned up on TMZ because she was wearing
it? Vanity Fair.
And it was at the Oscars after party at Vanity Fair.
Yeah.
And a TMZ photographer interviews her, puts a story up, and they're like, we found a mysterious woman who has a pair of Google Glass. She calls herself Anne. 12 hours later, update, she's married to Sergey
Brin. Are you a moron, TMZ? Mysterious Anne Wojcicki. How do you say that? Wojcicki. All right. But Sergey and Anne both wear these glasses to the Vanity Fair party.
Yes, you know why?
Marketing.
Celebrities talk to them when you're
It's just guerrilla marketing. Yes. That's what it is.
And but also, the point is to try to make this hip, isn't it?
Yes.
You can put lipstick on a pig, honey. It's still a pig.
Yeah, I mean, the segue for your face metaphor really works. I didn't come up with it, but I can't forget it.
Yeah, Because Segway was brilliant. Segway is cool. The technology in Segway is amazing. Nobody's denying that. But anybody who rides one around looks like a 10-foot-tall dork.
Yes.
And I'm of the opinion that's what killed it. Because in every other respect, it's very neat. But if you look like a dork riding around
it's
on it.
It's also just technology for technology's sake.
Well, that might be.
And it crosses weird borders. I mean, it's a motorized vehicle and then you're riding on the sidewalk.
Okay, technology for technology's sake,
yes.
Check.
She
crosses
looks like
weird
the board.
Borders, check.
Yeah.
You look like an alien. And you're tapping your temple all the time and looking over people's shoulders.
Yeah, right. And taking videos of people in locker rooms and doing all sorts of really offensive things.
I've been on a tear about this for a couple of weeks and I'm going to stop. But,
okay.
And I get a lot of email from people saying, you just have no vision, Leo. You have no foresight. You're such a troll. This is obviously the next big thing. And I will wear it.
You're the troll.
I'm the troll.
Oh, okay.
I will wear it.
I was wondering who the troll was.
So the best profession for this is journalists. I mean, I can see every journalist would want to have this, because you don't have to touch anything. You don't have to take notes. Mm-hmm. You can take web video, probably initially not broadcast quality video, but this is a journalist tool, and that's why journalists are all excited and talking about it. I don't think anybody, in real life is necessarily thrilled about Google Glass. It's tech journalists.
That's what I think, and that's kind of the point I've been making. Is that we're all in the bubble.
Point. I don't know
what you mean. Doing broadcast quality video interviews from your face?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, what about someone who's a biker and they just don't want to check their phone when they get an email?
I guess. There are use cases, you're right.
That's all you need is things popping up while you're, riding downhill quickly.
What if you're sculpting ice sculptures of tigers like the person in the demo video? I mean, I do that all the time.
There's four of those. Okay, yeah. That's four.
More. I was going to tell you one thing. There'll be more drunk driving accidents the day Google Glass comes out.
That's why they do it at the same time as daylight saving.
That's why they're also doing the car.
Jeez. All right, we're going to talk about why Marissa Mayer put out that memo, because it turns out she had data. She's data-driven. We all know that. But first,
I thought that was 2 weeks ago's story.
Is that really old?
About that?
No, but we now know, according to Business Insider, that she figured it out by looking at the parking lot and the sparse VPN logins, and figured out that people not only are not here, but they're not logging into VPN. They're just
slacking.
Okay, you're right. There's nothing more here. I'll talk about Microsoft having to pay money to the Danish government and to the EU. How about that?
Did anyone think it was solid story. For another reason?
What?
Oh, no, the Marissa Mayer thing. Like, she's just a bad person, and that's why she did it.
No, I had a theory, which I think this confirms, which is she saw red. She saw these numbers, and it would have been wise for her to not go ballistic, but she did. And she wrote it, and she said, you know what? This is stopping, because I'm pissed off. And the wise thing to do would be just to quietly fire those people.
And
no one would have said anything. But putting out a memo so that Kara can get
it. Marissa Meyer fired 900% of Yahoo staff because they were working from home with their children.
It's 50 people. It's not a lot of people.
It's very... No, I mean, I think it's an interesting approach to a problem. It's not a manager's approach. It's like an engineer's approach,
right?
I mean,
data-driven, baby.
Yeah, so, you know, it. Everyone expects Yahoo to do layoffs because they're a company in trouble that she's trying to do a turnaround
on. So it'd be no big story.
But instead, she says, well, here's a good way we can isolate a large percentage of slackers.
Right.
And let them keep their jobs still.
But
it's
a policy that's insensitive to a lot of things that you should be respectful of as a CEO.
Chiefly PR. Frankly, I mean, really, if she had run this by the PR division, they said, you know, we can handle this without getting in the news. You're going to get in the news if you put out this memo.
They're going to get in the news no matter what she does. Anything. If she sneezes wrong, it's going to be written up by Business Insider or TMZ or whoever.
Not if you put out if you have a company policy where the HR manager calls the person and says, you know, you're not.
Well,
this
no, remember when
out.
they sent out welcome back packages to people that they had fired, and that became a news story. Like, anything she does is going to be a news
maybe,
story.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right.
Yeah, I think.
She said, we're just going to take the bull by the horns.
But you're right. It was insensitive to, you know, people who have families, people who want better quality of life and don't want to have to drive down to Yahoo every day.
They still have jobs. That's the good news.
Yay.
Somebody told me the other conspiracy theory was this was to get rid of these people without having to pay unemployment. Because she figured they'd quit as soon as they were told, no, you got to come to the office. They go, screw that. And then we wouldn't have to worry about it. They're just all going to quit. Actually, might have been the real strategy. I don't know. I could see that happening. It's because unemployment's, you know, that's not cheap. Our show brought to you by Carbonite Online Backup. If you are not backing up, well, I don't want to hear from you saying, oh, I lost all my financial records or my emails or those baby pictures, the irreplaceable pictures from my wedding. You got your wedding pictures on your hard drive, I bet, Jolie. You have a book. You have a printed book, don't you?
Of my wedding pictures?
Yeah.
I think they're still on a CD somewhere that our photographer sent to us.
Got to back them up.
Yes, I do.
And if you're the photographer, you really, because you don't want a bridezilla named Jolie O'Dell coming at you saying, where's my pictures?
Exactly.
Yeah.
No one wants that.
No one wants You weren't a bridezilla. You were probably really fun.
I was super
I bet that was a
back.
Great wedding.
It was my day of cake.
Yeah.
How could I not be happy?
Isn't every day a day of cake for you, though, I'm thinking?
Well, it's Lent now, so muffins.
What did you give up? You gave up cake for Lent?
That's why you're calling them cupcakes or muffins.
You got it, girl.
You gave up cake for Lent?
No, I'm just doing, like, traditional fasting.
Oh, that's good. You don't eat during the day?
I eat two small snacks during the day to make me not crazy. Well, Sunday's a day of lenience on that stuff.
That's good.
Let's get back to this thing you were talking about. Backing up, though. That sounds fascinating. Do more. Tell it again, Leo.
Do more. More.
Do another one. Do another one.
More backup. Carbonite Online Backup. Okay, here's the three things it is. Automatic, so you don't have to think about it. Continuous, whenever you're online, it's backing up. So you make a change to a document, boom, it's backed up. And off-site, that's the most important thing, because if there's a fire, a flood, if somebody breaks in and steals all your stuff, you don't want the backups to go with the original. You want to have a backup off-site. Carbonite does it for you, Mac or PC. It's secure, uses SSL, so you can use it anywhere. And, by the way, if you want to add additional encryption, they'll do that too. They don't keep the key, only you. You can try it for free right now on your Mac or PC. Go to carbonite.com, use the offer code TWIT. Try it for 2 weeks. By the way, $59 a year, although as you can see, they have plans for external drives, small businesses, and so forth. Lots of different plans, all one low flat rate. But $59 a year for an individual computer, and if you use the offer code TWIT when you sign up for the trial, you'll get 2 months free with purchase, 14 months for the price of 12. You got to sign up for that free trial at the homepage to get those 2 months free. Use the offer code TWIT. No credit card required. Carbonite.com. Online backup done right. Carbonite. So good news and bad news for Microsoft. The bad news is they may owe Denmark $1 billion in taxes. The Danish government says, yeah, you didn't pay your taxes. They didn't say it like that, though. Maybe they did. I don't know.
It was probably written down.
It was probably, they probably didn't call. Several billion Danish kroner, according to a report from the Danish National Broadcasting Company.
Is that Microsoft or the company they acquired that owes?
Well, because they acquired Navison.
Now it's Microsoft's problem.
Navision, I should say. Now it's their problem. Yeah. And they got a huge fine.
That's the other one. The story I thought you were talking about.
Yeah, well, this is, a billion here, a billion there. It starts to add up. $732 million to the EU for a mistake. We talked about this on Windows Weekly when it happened. We were stunned. So Microsoft agreed in an antitrust case with the EU. The EU said, by building an Internet Explorer, the same old story, you're not giving the competitors a fair shake. So Microsoft, in a settlement, said, all right, we'll put a ballot in the European Union. It's the goofiest thing, the browser ballot. When you first start up Windows, you'll get a ballot that says, here's your choices, and which browser would you like to use? Let me see if I can find a picture of the browser. You had one, Chad, that was, it's just crazy. But the crazier thing is they did it, and then they issued a service pack that accidentally took it out, and no one noticed. There it is. Select your web browser. And it, by the way, it randomizes the 8 or 9 browsers, so you don't know what the first one will be. Right there, it looks like Chrome, Firefox, Safari, Internet Explorer, and Opera.
What is this from?
This is Windows in Europe. When you install it, you choose
because of
this decision. However, whoops, they took it out. No one noticed for like a year. And now the story is that Google might have ratted them out.
And Opera.
No one
and
noticed.
Opera, we don't know. No one noticed.
No one noticed.
Apparently.
Including the regulators.
They accidentally removed the opportunity for competition and no one noticed?
No one said
a
thing.
I'm gullible, man.
But nobody said
anything. I'm that gullible. Well, no one said anything, but, I mean, Microsoft may have noticed.
Well, I think they, I don't know.
You remember the 90s, man?
Well, yeah,
remember?
They say
you remember that one time?
I know,
remember
but
one time?
But seriously, you it took a year and a half. The commission didn't even pay any attention.
It sounds like they got lucky for a year
They got
and a half.
Lucky for a year and a half.
A
they
lot said, of IE going on over there.
They said it was Service Pack 1, a technical glitch released February 2011. And so the European Union sat up and noticed.
If
apparently
it were a
somebody
technical
turned
glitch,
them in.
One of their engineers would have noticed the next day.
Seems like it.
It does seem like it. That's logical. Go with me.
I can only speculate. So the commission says between February 2011 and July 2012, when it was discovered, roughly 15 million Europeans who purchased new PCs running Service Pack 1 weren't shown the screen. So they fined Microsoft $732 million.
How much money did they make in a year and a half off
I don't think you make more money off of IE than if somebody installs Chrome, do you?
Yeah, because like default search stuff.
Search deal. Yeah, it's search.
Because they wouldn't use Bing? What do you think, Dwight? Do you think it's a mistake or was
it
intentional?
Do you think it's a net profit, though? Like if you just want to
go
that way?
Might be. I don't know.
I think it's a mistake, but I think they noticed it and then they just said, shh.
But wouldn't you think they would assume that they'd get caught eventually?
Remember in the
90s? If the EU didn't notice it. The EU didn't. The regulators.
It's hard to believe.
Don't they have to inspect the code? I mean, aren't they? Isn't that part of the deals?
This was. Okay. So it turns out they hadn't really set up any compliance stuff.
Yeah, I think this is the first time they ever penalized someone for
right.
breaking.
So they've now said, and from now on, we will be checking. Yeah. But they left that part. They didn't set up any compliance group, and so nobody was checking. I'm sure they assumed that Opera would bitch if that happened.
Do you remember when Windows Vista came out? Go back into the distant mists of time. And Windows Vista came out, it was the first version of Windows that had any kind of security software in it. It had Windows Defender.
Right.
And the companies that make security software like Norton and McAfee complained. And so when you started up Vista, when you first installed it, it gave you the opportunity to choose antivirus programs. And there was a screen, and it was randomized.
Yep,
it was built into Vista.
Wow.
And I think it may even be in the first version of Windows 7, but it's not there now. And I just wonder if when they took it out of Windows 7, it also, got taken out of the Wii.
Maybe that's it. Somebody in the chat room asked a good question. Do you think the EU will make Chrome OS have a browser palette? I'm sorry. You have to use IE with Chrome OS.
Well, you can't use, you can only use IE on the Metro side of Windows 8, right?
No, I can use Chrome. I think there's a Chrome.
On the Metro?
On the Metro side now. I think there was a button that said, would you like to use it? I don't know. I can't remember, but I think
I think it will make it the default and it will go back, but I think it's actually a classic version of Chrome. I don't think it actually is a Metro version.
Okay. No, you're right. And frankly, the desktop version of Chrome is not very good on Windows 8. It's at least not on a good screen. It doesn't look very good. I think it was a mistake. I think they just forgot.
Okay.
Why would you try to get away with that? It's such a stupid,
great
and obvious
bridge
mistake.
I came across on my way just, here. You might be interested in.
It's like saying I'll steal these muffins. No one will notice. It's just
I think it was a mistake.
And they didn't notice for a year and a half.
And they didn't. They were right.
I think they noticed, but they stayed quiet.
I agree, Dwight.
I like that. That's a good. That's you split the baby. Very solemn enough. They did notice, but they didn't mention it.
Well, you know, once you have nothing but IE downloads coming out of, or IEUs coming out of Europe, don't you think you would see that in your servers, in your server logs?
Yeah.
Right? Because if they don't have a
well, they say it really impacted, it made Microsoft's Internet Explorer number 3 in Europe because of this.
And they didn't notice?
Number three browser.
I mean,
after the ballot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. They must have noticed that. We're coming back. No, you know why? Because they said, no, but we are that good. Of course we're coming back.
Right. Yeah.
It's not the browser ballot. We're just better.
IE is getting better. It's getting faster.
I actually use it on this Windows 8 machine.
Focused on HTML5 and optimization for modern web applications.
Let's talk about privacy. United States Customs and the Department of Homeland Security has said for some time that if you are within 100 miles of a border, of a United States border, we can search all your electronics forensically. We can go through everything without probable cause, without any suspicion. We just have the right to do that. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals this week said, nope. That is not okay. They slapped down the claim that customs agents can look at your stuff for evidence without reasonable suspicion. This is really good news. In fact, it's just stunning that the U.S. government thought it could do this.
Yeah.
I find it stunning that anyone thinks they wouldn't already just do it and that they have to ask anyone's permission or that they care what the circuit court says.
Well, if you cross the border, mm-hmm. They have to ask your permission because they have to say, can I have your laptop so I can look for something on it? Can I see what's going on with your laptop? And people have been doing this. Fortunately, somebody appealed, and the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has said, no, you have to have reasonable suspicion before you can do this.
They can look at the hardware, but they can still look at, like, all your online activity logs, can't they? Without having access to the hardware.
Well, I presume they could use some sort of magical device to see what you're doing.
Yeah,
there's
magic for that.
The judges said a quick look or unintrusive search of a laptop, things like saying, can you turn it on? Let me see what windows you have open, is okay, the court said.
Well, it's like they said, I think a judge said that without a warrant, police can search a mobile phone to find the phone number only without looking at any of the other data.
Not in Texas anymore. We're going to talk about that in a second.
Oh, okay. Is that a thing, too, now?
That's a thing, too. Okay. The Homeland Security now said we have the right to just seize the thing. To take the computer and keep it and go through it, whether there's reasonable cause or any reason to think there's this is criminal, and it's been going on all this time. The
Sounds
court
like
said
Security.
That a criminal history, previous criminal history is sufficient cause. I mean, there is, I guess, a higher standard if you're crossing into the United States, right? I mean, but the idea that they could just look at your stuff and see what's going on and really go on fishing expeditions. Let's see if you got any child pornography on here. Let's see if you got any bomb, you know, blueprints on here. Let's see what you're up
to.
What's in that bomb folder there? I've heard from many visitors, from international visitors over the years about this happening, about just terribly intrusive searches. They may take it for, you know, weeks, even months. Just pretty awful. So I'm glad that this was written, although there were a couple of dissents saying the government should mostly be free from the Fourth Amendment in this case.
It was a depressing story.
That's depressing, isn't it?
Thanks, wow. Debbie Downer.
Well, I'll give you some good news, and this comes out of Texas. Texas is proposing one of the most sweeping mobile privacy laws, which would require law enforcement to get a warrant, even to get location data. Now, you know that's going on right now, these so-called pen registers, which are not warrants. They, in fact, all the major mobile phone companies have portals that law enforcement can go to, and for a fee.
It's a spy guide. Is what it is. And it's not just mobile phone companies and carriers. It's every internet company. They are required to comply with law enforcement requests about personal information.
Right.
Right. But.
And in fact, so Sprint and T-Mobile and AT&T and Verizon, you go to a website if you're law enforcement, you pay $1.50, and I can say, where was Joe Lee all week? You could even say, I want to see all the emails, who they went to and from. You can't read the email, but you can read who they went to and from. This bill is in front of the Texas legislature. According to privacy experts, the most sweeping ever. In fact, better one protection than the federal bill that was introduced this week. Go ahead, tell us about it.
A lot of this has some of its root in, there's a lot of anti-federalism sentiment in the Texas legislature.
Right.
Very much a red state, very much Tea Party control of the legislature.
I love the Civil War statue in front of the State House, which says it's not a Civil War statue. It's the War Between the States memorial.
Yes, right.
And it was the war over states' rights.
Yes. Yes. That's very much a Southern thing.
Yeah.
And actually, there was a lot of this anti-federalism even during the George W. Bush years. But obviously, having a Democrat in the White House has intensified that. But this also goes against, you know, Texans are very much privacy oriented. And I think that this also kind of fits into that. What's the most interesting thing about this is that it's not clear if the governor will sign this or not. He in the past has not necessarily been friendly to this kind of thing.
Isn't that funny? It's because he wants these powers. He wants the Texas law enforcement to have these powers.
Well, and again, it'd be interesting to see what happens if this runs afoul of federal law that isn't this strict.
There was a Supreme Court decision last year that said that law enforcement could not put a GPS tracking device on a car without warrant. But they can track you by your cell phone, so they don't really need to, right? It's great because the ACLU of Northern California is in agreement with the Texas legislature. This is something you'll rarely see. But I'm in agreement, too. I hope this passes. Who's the governor?
Rick Perry.
Texas. Oh, Rick Perry.
Rick Perry, yes.
Oh.
Governor Oops.
Well, I'm glad he got a job. That's good.
He probably will get reelected also.
Is he popular? Yeah.
Yes, he is very popular.
Yeah. Well, so interesting. So Perry says, man, maybe I won't sign that, huh?
There's nothing firm. He's holding his cards close to chest, but the reporting that I've seen here, it's not clear if he will or not.
Samsung is saying Windows 8 is the reason why nobody's buying PCs. Ooh.
Wait, what?
Jung Dong Su. He's Samsung Electronics head of memory chips. Dislikes Windows 8 so much he told reporters in Seoul, South Korea today that the reason global PC shipments are in decline is that Windows 8 is no better than Vista.
Not because of, you know, the general trend toward mobile phones and tablets.
Well, that's what everybody else is saying and, you know, the bad economy and so forth. But I have to say, Windows 8 has not been a boon for PC sales.
It's been commercially available for long enough to even make that statement yet.
Yeah, it has. It came out in September. We've had a quarter. I think he's probably being a little mean. It could be something
mean,
else.
Mean, yeah.
He's being a little mean.
A little mean.
Eight.
That's mean.
I feel like he's testing out the, you know, we're Samsung now. Everyone's paying attention to us. Let me say something
muscle,
provocative.
Yeah. Muscling?
Yeah.
Okay.
And in fact, I bet you.
I mean, Samsung has a relationship with Microsoft, and, you know.
Right. And they're
they want to be the power player.
Acer's been saying that, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But these are the OEMs who were kind of burned a little bit by Microsoft releasing their first computers, Windows Surface tablets. And they may be a little miffed about that. I don't know. You think Windows 8, I have these mixed opinions. Now, the reason I got this Acer laptop is because I really wanted to give it a chance with really great hardware designed for Windows 8. And I do like the touch. But there's just some strange things. Like, in fact, the conclusion I've come to, and Paul Thurrott of our Windows Weekly show kind of backs it up, is the real problem with Windows 8 is it's two operating systems. It's a touch tablet operating system and a desktop operating system. And it's a little confusing because sometimes you'll launch a program and it behaves one way, but, oh, that's because I'm using the Metro program and not the desktop program. And it's just, Dwight, are you using Windows 8 nonstop now?
I'm using Windows 8 on a home-built Windows machine. Usually I use a Mac. And I had that frustration too, and you probably like it better because you have it on a touchscreen desktop.
That does make a difference. Yeah.
I recently bought a touchpad designed by Logitech. It's called the T650 that mimics the same gestures you have on the screen, and it works really well. It's about the size of the Magic Touchpad for the Mac.
Right.
And you can swipe from the edges and so forth just as you can on a touchscreen, but you don't have to raise your hand up. And so I find using that Windows 8 is a much better experience than it is if you're using it just with a mouse.
It's really strange to have to mouse to the corner to find the charms and all of that stuff.
Right. This is a great product. I did a review of it, and I think it is. It really makes a big difference if you're using Windows 8 on a traditional desktop.
Having said that, and I'd agree with you, it's still a little weird. Jolie, you're using a Mac, which I don't even understand.
I don't know.
I've never seen you use a Mac in my life.
It's my husband.
So where's your? So are you? You're using Windows 7 still? Bathtub.
Yeah. No, I'm still using Windows 7.
Yeah.
Cling to it to the bitter end. I actually enjoy it.
But I think you would have. I like Windows 7. I think you and many people who use Windows 7 would be a little befuddled.
Sure. Well, you know, and I talked to the Microsoft folks about this. I think that what they're doing right here is they're setting expectations for touch interaction that are not intuitive yet because we are still babies when it comes to how do we use a touch operating system. What is a touch operating system that's not just confined to a tiny mobile screen? So I think that what they're doing is going to cause some discomfort, and I'm not willing to be uncomfortable yet. So Windows 7.
Right.
Darn it.
Yeah, I mean, if you go on the Chromebook Pixel and then you try to start doing a multi-touch, you know, expand
the map. Because it's not designed for it.
It's static, yeah. I mean, it's
very first gen. That's the other
thing.
Even on Windows 8, some pages you can pinch.
Right. Same thing on the Chromebook.
And so we are in the early days of touch. I disagree with you, Jolie, that touch is not intuitive. I think when well done, and the iPhone and the iPad are an example of this.
When you pull four fingers down from the top,
not
it brings up the Easter egg.
But that's just bad design. I mean, that's just bad design.
The YouTube video. Well, it's not bad design. It's just no one knows what the heck good design is when it comes to
touch. And it's not discoverable.
Yeah, there should be a universal language of touch that people understand.
Well, I think Microsoft is trying to get in on that conversation. They're also going a step ahead, and they're sending out, like, they did a big old white paper for designers and developers on interactions for gestural control. So they're trying to set the stage and set the conversation for how we interact once touch screens are a thing of the past, once we're just interacting in 3D space. And I think they're trying to kind of get ahead of the curve
they're
there.
Way ahead of the curve on that one,
even a little bit behind the curve.
Speaking of that, have you used Leap Motion yet?
Oh, no. Have you?
Oh, it's so cool.
So the idea of this is you gesture.
Yeah. I mean, like, so touch is like the interface starts to disappear because there's an authentic relationship between what you're doing and what's manipulating. So you actually feel touching something and making it happen.
It's natural.
So with Leap Motion, it detects within the field in front of the computer instead of, you know,
so it's
keyboard
a little puck
entry, mouse
you put
entry.
Kind of in front of
yeah,
your
similar
laptop.
Similar to Kinect. If you use that, you understand it.
All right.
And you use it understands the points of your five fingers. So the demo that I did that was really cool was a piece of clay rotating around, and you stick your finger out, and you carve a groove into it as it comes around, and
then you can
kind of go like this. And shows you the next angle. So you're feeling like you're actually interacting with a virtual object. The same kind of leap forward that you get with a touch screen. Now it's like even beyond that because you're not Because you have space. You have multiple dimensions.
Now, that's, I think, that's a case where gorilla arms or zombie arms or whatever you want to call it would actually be a problem. And I think Microsoft in their white paper on gestural interactions, they mentioned that you can't have people just waving
having your
their
hand
arms
in the air all day. Yeah. You want it for a special thing, but...
Either that or we're going to have huge biceps in the future. I'm into that.
Awesome.
Take me to the gun show. I'm ready.
No, but what's it called? Like right Fruit now. Ninja? I was playing with that on
Leaf. It's natural to do
it's
that.
Really fun. Yeah. Like, you learn it so quickly. Oh, it's much more intuitive.
I think that's true here, is that you use a mix of gestures that are appropriate.
Well, can you imagine using Windows 8 with Kinect for Windows and being able to pull those icons through 3D space?
That might be interesting.
It will be interesting. Yeah. It's going to happen.
So the Leap will be available May 13th.
Yeah, they just announced that, but that's the Windows version.
For Windows.
I think it'll actually work, like in a bug-free way.
Well,
people used it, love it. You used it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I used it with their demo software.
Right,
I mean, it's a developer platform model, meaning it won't get figured out right away.
Right. Okay. $79.99, so that helps.
Yeah.
It's affordable. Best Buy is taking pre-orders on the 13th, and we'll have it in store May 19th. I'll buy one.
Well,
yeah,
I mean, is it affordable in
$80?
The sense that you can
it's
only use it with
this futuristic stuff where it's like you're starting to understand where interfaces can go and how they kind of melt away.
Now, this says it'll Windows 7 and 8, OS 10, 10.7, and 10.8.
Oh, nice.
So maybe they have added Mac support.
Cool. Well, I want to see it for mobile. I'm not
Well, what? You put your phone, it's as big as your phone. You put your phone down and then put the thing in front of your phone and then wave at your phone.
You know what?
It's a whole different dimension of interaction.
Yeah.
I saw the, I'm going to sound stupid, but I was watching the series finale of Weeds about a billion years ago, and there was a point where they had, you know, little clear transparent phones. Samsung has been demoing those for ages, and they would set it down and it would project a keyboard on the table in front of them, so you were just typing on the table in front of you, but you could see the keyboard and you could interact with that.
Weeds 2019? I must have missed this one.
It's like 5 years in the future, whatever.
Oh, right.
But I think we're getting to that point where it's not unfathomable that you would be doing gestural control with a smartphone-like device. Or even like with Google Glass, that's going to need gestural control.
Right.
You're not going to be able to talk to it or think at it or just roll your eyes like a crazy person
all
the time.
That's not a bad gesture.
There's like...
eye roll?
Yeah. You wouldn't look like a butthead in conversation ever, Leo.
Hi, not Jolie. Nice to see you today.
Nice to see you, too.
I'm sorry. Okay. I'm just sorting some files. I'll be with you in a moment.
I'm fruit ninja-ing over here. Yeah. Now my eyes hurt.
I want to do interviews with all the spouses of people who are using Google Glass right now.
I make him turn on off when he comes to bed.
It's just so nice to have a real conversation with someone, I think, is the first thing they would say.
It's made him a much better cook.
Yeah, I don't know. Go back to the emasculating thing.
Yeah. You see? Google Glass is emasculating. That's the whole reason he said that, you understand. Because he's trying to make this emasculating when, in fact, there's nothing more dumb, let's not say emasculating, but dumb than wearing these glasses and looking off to the corner and going like this all the time with your temple. That's dumb.
I don't think you have to do this anymore. I think you just talk
you don't?
To it. Yeah.
Oh, that's much better. You don't touch it. You just talk to it.
Let's talk next month.
Hey, glasses. Oh, glasses.
As soon as they come out, we'll have a reunion. We'll all wear ours.
Oh, we should definitely
we'll
all wear
them. We'll see how quickly it goes off track.
Yeah. I'm going to have a headache within minutes. I know I am.
So if you have a bunch of people all wearing it, all talking to their glasses, and all paying attention to the stuff on the in their eye, I mean, that would be just like a terrible gathering.
My point exactly.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah. That's why only the rich people should have them.
A dinner party with 10 people all wearing Google Glass.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
The seventh ring of hell.
Yeah.
Listen to me.
Isn't that exciting, though?
You know, I would just sit and watch Netflix and let everyone else just do their thing.
You haven't tried it, right, Liz? Is it good enough to watch a movie?
I've tried it for like 5 minutes.
Could you watch? Oh, you have. So you could watch a movie?
What did you do?
It was at Google I.O. They just gave us like the, it was very.
Oh, you're one of the ones that they let you touch it.
Yeah,
lucky
but it was it wasn't my personalized experience,
right.
So it wasn't really
it was like a
fully,
demo.
Yeah. I had like fireworks playing in the it was a video. Yeah.
What did it look like? How much of your view did it take up?
Surprisingly little. That was mm-hmm. what was interesting because looking up above your head is not something you do all that much. So
that
it's
would
kind
give
of,
you a headache so fast.
Well, it's there if you want it, but you also it's there if you it doesn't have to be in your way.
I want a Google monocle.
Well, isn't it a monocle? I thought it was just the one side.
And a little ascot. And a So CBS told CNET you can't make Hopper the best of CES, and even though they had already done so. Now they're telling their TV stars you can't even tweet about Hopper.
Oh, man.
Kaylee, what, how do you pronounce that? Cuoco?
She's
the star of Big Bang Theory. Tweeted, amazing. Watching live TV anywhere on the Hopper looks pretty awesome. Now, where can I find a tanny beer? Now, this was an ad, by the way.
Oh.
Well, look, see.
She tweeted out an ad?
She tweeted an ad, so maybe that's not.
Sponsored with a tweet, hashtag.
It was a sponsored tweet. First of all, Kaylee, please. Right. Aren't you making enough money? You have to tweet?
Was it sponsored?
Yeah.
It says ad.
So she got paid by Hopper for that?
Yeah, and it linked to a Hopper commercial.
If you've read anything about television on the internet in the last 6 months, they have paid so many people to leave comments, and they leave actually like, Dish pays people to say, I'm a Hopper user, but they have two sentences of educated commentary about the show. They actually watch the show, and then they say, good thing I'll be able to catch up next week because I have a Dish Hopper.
Oh,
and it's so obnoxious. They're spraying.
Knock it off, Dish. You don't need to.
No, wait. CBS
so
is the bad guy here.
CBS is having people
delete
who
tweets.
Who comes out
delete
worse
their
about
tweets.
This?
Yes.
Dish
but
Hopper who
Dish
can't
has a bizarre
get
over
legitimately
bad
good
guys?
Commentary. Well, I'm going to stop talking, but.
So CBS said you got to pull that tweet.
Well, CBS said denies it, don't they, in the story? Didn't they say that they had nothing to do with it?
Oh, CBS said once again, this is great, Dish CEO Joe Clayton demonstrates his dubious gift for hyperbole and hucksterism. No demands were made. But it's clear Dish's culture of fabrication is alive and well.
Maybe she just got embarrassed that she was tweeting an ad.
That she was an ad, right.
Yeah. Actually, CBS said no. We didn't even talk to her.
Or the check bounced.
You know, you just say you were hacked. Come on. It worked for Anthony Weiner. My Twitter account was hacked. That's all. I didn't know what I was doing.
Good grief.
Well, that's interesting. So Dish is also a bad actor here. It's not just CBS. Dish is also doing, like, kind of, it's not sleazy, but slightly, I mean, you know, to pay people to comment.
They're scoundrels.
Stuff.
They're all scoundrels.
They're all scoundrels. What's going on with Hulu? This is, I feel so sorry for Hulu. Hulu has such potential,
mm-hmm.
and I love it. And the problem is the people who own it hate each other. So it's impossible for Hulu to succeed. So now Disney and News Corp, I mean, what strange bedfellows. They are the primary owners of Hulu, completely disagree over what Hulu should be. Disney says it should be a free ad supported. News Corp, which of course likes paywalls, say, oh, no. It should be subscriber.
Well, they already have both.
They have. That's why they have both. They have a free version and a Hulu Plus.
So they split the baby.
Yeah.
Why are they
each own a
now?
Third? And guess who the other third is owned by? Comcast. What
it
a
all
mess.
All used to be NBC.
Yeah, NBC Universal, right? Comcast cannot participate in any operational capacity. So the question posed by some, including this article in The Verge, is. What's going to happen? Hulu Plus has 3 million subscribers. Compare that to the almost 30 million at Netflix. I don't know if there's news here or they're just... The news is the CEO is stepping down next month.
Well, that he announced that a little bit ago.
Yeah, Bloomberg...
Well, that was the first actual bit of news in a while. I mean,
right.
This Hulu story has been kind of the same thing. Not that it matters for users necessarily, but the CEO is actually finally stepping down.
So the issue is who's going to be in control, and according to Bloomberg, the two are debating, Disney and News Corp debating who should get it and who should buy the other side out.
Mm.
What would you like? Well, I think I would prefer a free ad-supported medium, but that's what I do. On the other hand, Netflix has been very successful with a paywall.
Yeah, but they have very different content.
They do. Well, I mean, some of it is duplicative and some of it's very, very different. I think like a lot of that network, you're going to get ads, whatever happens kind of content. The sitcoms.
I don't like that. See, if I pay $8 a month, I don't want any ads at all. Can I do it?
No, not on Hulu.
No.
But I mean, why not?
Well, on Hulu you get.
Because it's just not enough money. There's not enough money to make good television anymore.
No, Hulu is all broadcast television.
Right.
You're not watching premium stuff.
They already
stuff
made
on
their
Hulu.
Money. It's incremental income. They already made their money.
It's just like the new DVR.
Right.
With ads.
Speaking of which, the new Roku I'm seeing, Roku 3, which just came out, I just ordered, has an interesting little twist on it.
I love the Roku guys.
I do too. Imagine this, if you were a Time Warner subscriber, you could use it as a set-top box. You wouldn't need a cable connection anymore, just an internet connection with the Roku 3. And I really wonder if other other cable companies are coming along for the ride, eliminating the set-top box. You have to have a cable subscription, and maybe you have to have one set-top box, but you could put a Roku on the other TV and get it all over the internet, right?
Wasn't that how HBO Go kind of works?
Yeah,
I mean, I've talked to the Roku CEO, Anthony Wood, has really good relationships with all those big cable guys. I think he comes from that, like, business background of working with cable folks in the past. I could have hallucinated that part of the conversation, but I'm pretty sure he has a cable background. But anyway, you know, he knows about all the contracts and all the negotiation and where their vision is and where their pain points are. So I think that if anybody stands a chance to bring cable into more modern homes,
I would love that.
Roku.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
God, it would be really great.
I would love that.
Comcast called me this past week and was like, we want to see if we can change your plan. And I said, great, can we do the plan where I don't have to pay for TV? And they said, here are our options.
I'm sorry, that's not in the notebook. Let me give you some other choices.
I said, I don't really watch TV except for on Hulu and Netflix. And she says, people say that, but they don't really mean that.
That's hysterical.
Please stop treating me like an idiot and tell me if I can just have internet. Nope, you can't just have internet. Okay, well, then this conversation is done.
That's the new thing. Because wasn't it last week that, who was it, Time Warner said, people don't really want gigabit Ethernet. We asked.
What?
And nobody really, that Google thing, nobody wants that. So this is the new cable model. No, people say that, but they don't really, they don't.
She actually said that.
People say that.
Oh
but,
my
you know,
God.
when we actually inquire, you're watching TV. We know you are. No, Liz, it's not me.
So Liz, I have Comcast internet and no television.
Nice.
I have UVerse television, and you can get it unbundled. Call them back.
How do you get it? What does it cost?
You could pay. I think it cost me for a.
You pay like $10 more.
You pay more for less services.
Yeah,
that does not make any sense.
It does not make sense at all. Nope.
In other words, you're paying a discount for the bundle.
Right,
and
but you get this. They add $10 to your internet fee, and that's your new fee. But you don't have to pay for TV, so you're saving money.
But I never. Right. I, yeah.
But you don't watch TV, so you.
Yeah. No, I mean I watch TV. I just don't mind watching it a day later, and on
I
my
know
own terms.
I love it. You're a cord cutter, but you can't cut the cord because the cable company won't let you cut the cord.
No, so you just go to a company like, is it Monkey Brains or one of the other guys who only does Wi-Fi or only does internet connections for your residence?
Yeah, it depends on.
I think it's called Monkey Brains.
Yeah. Oh. No, it just depends on because a lot of those services piggyback on existing
bandwidth,
and then you get AT&T's crappy bandwidth. Right.
Or you steal your neighbor's Wi-Fi password.
That's a different plan.
You know, I use
BitTorrent.
I've got options.
I'm trying to help.
If you go to the Pirate Bay, all the shows you want are available free and in high definition.
Wait, are we doing an ad again?
Yeah. It's a portion of the program brought to you by. No, but that really, seriously, that's the thing to tell them is, well, I'm want to give you money, but be honest with you, I can get all these shows for free. I want to pay for these shows, but if you don't give me an option that makes sense, I'm just going to steal them. Now what do you say, Comcast? Well, people often say that, but they don't really mean it. Well, she does. I could tell. She's a thief. Our show brought to you by Stamps.com. You know what you can't do? You cannot steal postage. Nope.
I mean, unless stamps are just lying there.
Unless you were breaking into the post office or something. You wouldn't.
Or your dad's office.
You could steal. No, you're right. You could steal stamps from your dad. My kids do that all the time.
See?
But fortunately, I have Stamps.com, so I just print more. You know, that's cool. You can print your own stamps. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
It's so cool. You use your computer, your printer, stamps.com. You can also print the labels. You can print right on envelopes. You can put postage on the envelope. And stamps.com will take the address. You know, you have your company logo, your return address, but they'll take the address you're mailing to from your QuickBooks or from your address book. If you sell on Etsy or eBay or Amazon, one of those sites, PayPal, it'll take it from there. Fills out any forms you need to fill out if you're doing Express mail, priority mail, even international mail. They'll fill out all the forms. Really, if you do, look, there's no point if you just, you know, sending a letter once in a while. But if you do mailing as part of your business, invoices or mailers, If you send packages, if you send merchandise, you got to have stamps.com. This is the pro tip for people who do a lot of mailing. You even get discounts you can't get at the post office. Up to, look at that. That's the scale. So this is a USB scale. You plug this into the computer, and then you always exactly the right postage for your letters or packages. All classes of mail. You can get up to 21% off priority or express mail, up to 15% off priority mail. You might say, how are you such an expert? Because we have two accounts here. We really love Stamps.com. I've been a member for more than 10 years, and I want you to try it. We got a special no-risk trial offer. On the front page, you'll see that scale and the $80 value, but I don't want you to do that one. I want you to click up on that radio microphone, enter the offer code TWIT, and press go, and you're going to get a $110 bonus offer, $55 in free coupons, free postage over the first few months of your account, free digital scale, this one I just showed you, a $5 supply kit, and 4-week trial, stamps.com. It's a pro tip for people who do a lot of mailing. All right, Liz Gaines, what are you going to be covering this week? I know it's not South by Southwest. What's the big story for you this week?
Did you see actually out of South by Southwest that MakerBot is going to do a scanner? How cool is that?
A desktop scanner. That is so cool. So you take like this, an object, you put it in the scanner, scans it, then you send it to your MakerBot and you print it.
But the one thing I would say is I've tried to do 3D scanning with the big expensive machines,
right,
and it's bad. So I'm worried about doing 3D scanning with a cheap machine, but I'm glad that someone's working on it to make it better and more accessible.
I think it's possible to do it well. Have you seen 1-2-3D Catch?
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome? You
it
use
is
your
really
phone
cool.
and you take pictures. Oh, I could do it all around your head, and then it
you
combines
them. You take like 30
them.
Different pictures from yeah. all angles, and then it's
amazing.
It's effectively a scan.
Yeah. So who knows? I mean, I think they're getting better and better at this.
It's funny how the maker movement has kind of ebbed and flowed over the past 30 or 40 years. And yeah, what they're doing now is amazing. I think Bree Pettis is...
I love Maker. Maker.
Oh, yeah.
What is it? MakerBot?
Yeah.
MakerBot.
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 And Bree is just a good spokesman for all of this because he's so enthusiastic and so cool.
And he's charismatic and great hair, all that stuff.
Great hair.
Yep.
Very important, I think, in a 3D printing engine to have good hair. What are you going to be covering, Jolie O'Dell, Adventure Beat? Any big stories on your horizon?
You know, I am getting a thermostat installed on Thursday.
Nest?
No, it's one for old-fashioned Victorian baseboard-type heaters. So that's my big story for this week. Computer controlling my Victorian ancient house.
You're getting a thermostat that's not Wi-Fi enabled?
It is, but it wires up to the existing baseboard heaters.
Oh. What's this called?
I don't know.
But it's not a
Honeywell
Nest.
Makes it.
Ah.
So they're like trying to kill Honeywell. They're trying to kill Nest. So I guess this wasn't my decision. I just want to say that publicly.
You got to, but Nest is cool because like I can turn down my thermostat from here. Chad, do you ever do that? You go online to your Nest?
We can do that with the Honeywell thing too. I guess they just completely ripped it off.
They did.
And
well, why not? That's their business.
But doesn't work for really
sued them
old
too.
Heaters.
Did they? Honeywell or sued Nest or Nest sued Honeywell?
I think they went back and forth, but Honeywell started it.
Does Nest work if you don't have central?
They sue them over round thermostats.
No.
Yes.
Wait, what?
No.
Yeah.
What? They say they own the round thermostat design.
Look it up.
Unbelievable. You can't trademark a circle.
No.
Or patent. Maybe you can, though. I mean, this is such a crazy...
Someone write that down.
You shouldn't be able to.
Write that down.
Control your Nest. I gave Chad a Nest. Have you...
I haven't set up my user account yet, but it has already learned my schedule.
That's kind of
neat. So, like, once I wake up, I can tell the heater kicks on.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
It's like your happy little friend who wants to warm the place up for you before you get out of bed.
It also has a little motion sensor, so when I walk by, it, like, turns on the screen, and it's like, hey, it's 70 degrees.
It's almost like a cat.
It's very much like a cat. Let's see.
So just Google searching Honeywell Wi-Fi
That's not round, man.
It's not. Well, no. I mean, they might have the. This is, you know, they might have the patent.
Now look at the Nest.
But,
come on.
I have to agree.
That looks like a TV on your wall.
I think their patent was not so much for the circle, but for that feature where you can reach up and turn it in this fashion. And that's their patent.
Oh, Lord.
Which you do with the Nest, right?
So this is my, Jolie, this is my home. It knows that it's 69 degrees. Wow, it's a nice day outside. 69 degrees in Petaluma. So the heat right now, see the green leaf. And they send you an email, by the way, saying, you had more green leaves this month than last month. They actually rate you. And then I can turn my thermostat up or down, and it changes it at home. So I'm on my way home.
Yeah.
Just warm it
the
up a little bit.
The one that we're getting apparently has web controls and an iPhone app and an Android app. So
Honeywell.
So for suing them for not stealing their knob idea that they had, sounds like they're biting their styles pretty hard.
Wow.
Aaron, why did we buy this thing? He's watching.
Is he watching? Hi, Aaron. Congratulations, Seesaw.co, an iPhone app. I'm going to put it on here right now.
Oh, you should.
You made a decision to wear the Peter Pan collar because of it.
No, I made the decision to buy my car.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. You didn't need any help with the Peter Pan collar.
Always a Peter Pan collar. You can't go wrong. Why aren't you wearing one?
I ought to be.
That would be weird.
VentureBeat.com. That's where you'll find Jolie Odell. Seesaw. You'll find Liz Gaines at All Things D. Is that it? Seesaw Decisions Corp?
That's it.
Free install app. There we go. AllThingsD.com.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She is not in Austin.
I'm not in Austin.
Mighty happy about that.
I am doing a conference next month if people want to come in New York.
You're doing your own?
Yeah.
Congratulations. Is this the first time?
Well, it's the first and a half time because the first one was in Lower Manhattan on October 29th when something else happened. There was a hurricane.
Ugh.
So we canceled. So we rescheduled. It's called Dive Into Mobile. All sorts of great people there. Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
We have folks from all around the world coming in. We're going to have someone from China, Brazil, Turkey, Nigeria, and then a whole bunch of kind of the platform players that you, like Google and Facebook and Microsoft, and it'll be good.
I'm glad you got your own conference. That's fantastic. I'm waiting for the, I think the HTC One. I don't know about the Galaxy S4. I'm a Note 2 user, but I think I'm going to go.
I have the Nexus 4 and I really like it.
Yeah, I think I want to get a non-Galaxy phone just for a change, a non-Samsung phone. Like Nexus 4 is an LG, actually.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Are you a wireless charging person?
No, but I wouldn't mind. I could be.
Yeah.
You could talk me into it. Does the Nexus 4 charge wirelessly?
Only with its own orb thing. I tried it with the other ones and it didn't work because they're not Qi compliant.
I'm excited about the One. We'll see. Oh, God. I had all these things I was going to do and I forgot. I'll tell you what. Before we do those, we should say goodbye to Dwight Silverman also from the Houston Chronicle, blog.cron.com. And are you there still? Did we lose
you? Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good. Oh, he's starting to silence. This would be a good time.
Hold on.
Good time to get rid of him.
It
works with the Qi chargers. You have to use Qi.
That's right.
Thank you. Thank you, Dwight, for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Technology Bites on Pacifica Radio.
That's right, every Wednesday night, 8 o'clock Central Time, and at kpft.org if you're not in Houston. And most of you aren't.
Mm. And I was wondering if Tom Merritt could tell us what we're going to be looking at, because I asked all you guys, but what are we going to be looking at on TNT on the week ahead? Tom?
Hey, Leo, here's a few things we'll be keeping an eye on in the week ahead on Tech News Today. Of course, South by Southwest wrapping up in Austin, Texas. That doesn't end till Tuesday, March 12th. Kicking off on Monday, March 11th, SMX West in San Jose. That's the Search Marketing Expo. Also, don't forget, Wednesday, March 13th, Google I.O. registration begins.
Ooh.
It requires a Google Plus and a Google Wallet account. Thursday, March 14th, it's Samsung's big announcement at 7 p.m. Eastern Time in New York. And also, March 14th, 3:14, International Pi Day. Friday, March 15th, Microsoft finally shuts down Messenger.
Ooh.
So be prepared. And Saturday, March 16th, kicks off Engadget Expand. That's a look at the week ahead. Back to you.
Thank you, Tom Merritt, TNT. Our daily news program is every Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC on twit.tv. If you didn't watch this week, here's a few of the things that happened on the Twit Network.
Previously on Twit, i5 for the iPhone.
Path is by far the best designed app on my iPhone. They have great designers. They really go the extra mile with the little details. So it's a fun update. There's lots of new functionality. But for a private network, I'd like a little more privacy, Path.
Windows Weekly.
Two Insta with Love.
This is the greatest name for an app I've ever seen in my life.
Sounds like a James Bond movie.
Two Insta with Love. You only know.
NSFW.
Me doing it.
All right. Wait, are you saying that you, Jeff Cannata, are going to carry the freaking torch of Totally Rad Show and bring back what was rad about TRS for everyone?
You guys say it so much better than I do. Yes,
what? That's the goal. That's the goal. Show us the chat room. Freak it out.
Twit.
It's all
making
women on
the world
here.
Safe for technology.
So I've launched Seesaw. It's all women Seesaws, though. Is it like Pinterest? Women? Seriously.
I don't know. It depends on who you follow.
Decisions, though, right?
Yeah. It seems like. But so you take a picture.
Everyone makes decisions. Is it like but shopping decisions? I think women decisions? Are more prone to asking their friends for their opinions, maybe.
Well, like when I buy eyeglasses, I take pictures of myself with the different frames and posted that. So I'm going to follow you.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, follow. Okay. 9 decisions.
Yeah.
You do look like her, yes.
Someone said that.
Oops, too late. I put no.
That's okay.
You look just like her. Who is that? Leslie Brooks. I never heard of her.
Someone on the internet said I look like her. That doesn't matter. Yeah.
Floral ballet, blue flats, or pink
Oxfords? Oxfords. You know what? I bought them all on eBay.
Needs a shopping advice app. Yeah.
Shopping advice.
Where is the best San Francisco drag experience? I've only been to Asia, but I was very impressed.
You know, last night I went to the drag show of a life. This is super relevant to this show. Paris is Burning, the ultimate drag documentary presented by some of the winners of RuPaul's Drag Race, as well as a few local drag legends and My husband actually went with me. We had the best time ever. It was like 80% drag queens and drag hags and faux queens just filling up the audience. It was great.
So what should Jolie wear to the Beyonce concert this summer? A bustier with high-waisted shorts, zebra print mini dress, black romper shorts. I think thanks to girls, romper shorts are coming back.
You know, they really are. And this is one where, like, I don't know what to wear to things like that are not press conferences, so that's one where I needed some girls to weigh in on.
I don't
one.
Like pink hair. It's just me.
That's okay. As
Chad scared me as a baby, and I just ever since.
Chad has a beautiful
Oh, there's Aaron.
Name.
Beard or no beard on Aaron? That's no beard.
That's no beard.
I like him without a beard.
Aw.
You like the beard? Well, what are you asking people for?
Because he thought he looked dumb with a beard. And I was like, baby, no, you're so great with a beard. Because as a woman, I don't like kissing stubble. I like kissing something that's
right.
like
smooth,
not gonna
like a baby's bottom.
Yeah, but a man's
But is a
face
beard better
a
than a
bottom.
Scratchy face?
Yes.
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 Is $500 a good ticket price for a 2-day conference where you actually learn new skills as a developer? Hell yeah.
Well, we'll talk about that later.
This is good. So I have to take a picture of something, right, to have a decision.
You can.
We can use this. We'll use this to decide, for instance, our next Twit T-shirt.
Ooh,
how about that?
That's actually a good use.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. That's Aaron's product. He's been working on it since I know him. Mm-hmm. Like a year or something.
He was
Seesaw.
Working on something different before, but this is like, I think, 9 months.
9 months.
Maybe
okay.
6 months.
Seesaw.co.
Good stuff.
Seesaw.co. Am I doing the wrong time for daylight savings time? Oh, I didn't do. That's right. It's daylight savings time now. So it's now 7 hours, not 8 hours.
Look at his face.
Saving. He gets so mad. I do it to
AP style.
No, he doesn't like it, but I just do it to annoy him.
When you whisper into a microphone, what does that mean?
It means, I don't know. Because everybody can hear. He can't hear till later, and then he's going to get angry.
Okay. They won't tell.
When he listens to the show, he'll be mad. So you're right. It's 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern time, 1700 UTC. It's no longer plus 8, it's plus 7 because of daylight savings time. Thank you all for being here. We really appreciate it. We do this show. See, I'm going to do it again. We do this show every Sunday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 2200 UTC on twit.tv. I hope you watch live. We'd love it if you do because we could see you in the chat room and we can go back and forth about saving or savings. But if you don't watch live, we've got on-demand versions available after the fact wherever podcasts are found, including twit.tv. Have a great week. We'll see you next time. Another Twit.
Amazing.
He's in the can.
Yay.
Good job.
Bravo.